ജയം വിഷുപാദബ്രഹ്മം സപരിവ്രാജ ആചാര്യ സ്തോത്രശത ശ്രീമാൻ അഭയശരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയിലെ പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീല പ്രവിഷ്ഠ വിഷുപാദ ബ്രഹ്മംസ പരിവ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തരശത ശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാഷ്ട്രയില പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദക്ക് നാമാചാര്യശീല ഹരിദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാ കൃഷ്ണ ഗോപ ഗോപിനാഥ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ട ഗിരിഗോവർധാനക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാംക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാംക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാംക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാംക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാംക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദക്ക് ഗോർ പ്രേമനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരു ആൻഡ് ശ്രീ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ് നമോ ശ്രീപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതി വാസുദേവായ ഓം പാർത്ഥായ പ്രതിബോധിതാം ഭഗവതാം നാരായണേന സ്വയം വ്യാസേന ഗ്രഥിതാം പുരാണമുനിനാം മധ്യേ മഹാഭാരതം അദ്വൈതാമൃതവർഷിണി ഭഗവതി അഷ്ടാദശാധ്യായിനി അമ്പത്വാമനുസന്ധനാമി ഭഗവത്ഗീതേ ഭവദ്വേഷിണി നമോസ്തുതി വ്യാസവിശാലബുദ്ധേ ഫുല്ലാരവിന്ദായത പത്രനേത്ര യേന ത്വയാ ഭാരതതൈലപൂർണ പ്രജ്വാലിതോ ജ്ഞാനമയ പ്രദീപ പ്രപന്നപാരിജാതായ ത്വോത്രവേത്രൈകവാണയേ ജ്ഞാനമുദ്രായ കൃഷ്ണായ ഗീതാമൃതദുഹേ നമഃ സർവോപനിഷദോ ഗാവോ ദുഗ്ധാ ഗോപാലനന്ദന പാർത്ഥോ വത്സ സുധീർഭോക്താ ദുഗ്ധം ഗീതാമൃതം മഹദ് വസുദേവസുതം ദേവം കംസച്ചാനൂരമർദനം ദേവകീ പരമാനന്ദം കൃഷ്ണം വന്ദേ ജഗദ്ഗുരും ഭീഷ്മദ്രോണതടാ ജയദ്രഥ ജലാഗാന്ധാരവീലോൽപല ശല്യഗ്രാഹവതീ കൃപേണ വഹനീ കർണേന വേലാകുല അശ്വത്ഥാമാ വികർണ ഘോരമകരാ ദുര്യോധനാവർത്തിനീ സോത്തീർണ ഖലു പാണ്ഡവൈ രണനദീ കൈവർത്തയ കേശവ ആരാശര്യവജസ്സരോജമമുളം ഗീതാർത്ഥഗന്ധോൽക്കടം നാനാഖ്യാനകകേസരം ഹരികഥാ സംബോധനാബോധിതം ലോകൈ സജ്ജനശൽപദൈരഹരഹ പേവീയമാനം മുദാ ഭൂയാത് ഭാരതപങ്കജക്ലിമലം പ്രധ്വംസിന ശ്രേയസേ മൂകം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാദമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം യം ബ്രഹ്മാ വരുണേന്ദ്ര രുദ്രമരുദസ്ത്വന്വന്തി ദിവ്യൈ സ്തവൈർവേദൈ സാംഗപദൈ ക്രമൌപനിഷദൈർഗായന്തിയം സമഗാഹം ധ്യാനാവസ്ഥിത തദ്ഗതേന മനസാ പശ്യന്തിയം യോഗിനോ യസ്യാം തം ന വിദുസുരാസുരഗണൈ ദേവായ തസ്മൈ നമ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ chapter, the 14th one, is called Gunatraya Vibhagam, isn't it? Gunatraya Vibhagam. Gunatraya means these three modes of material nature, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. Have you thought why this chapter came after the other one? Right after the 13th chapter, which is Jnana Vijnana Yogam. Next one comes Gunatraya Vibhagam. What is the connection between the two? Why did this question, because Bhagavad Gita is a science in itself, it's a total science it is, science of Antaryami, basically. So, to get deeper into this, unless we think, because Bhagavad Gita requires thinking, without thinking, just listening is no good. That is why Mananam is more important than Shravanam. Shravanam you hear, but then Mananam gives you all the answers. What is the why it has been created like this, the way it has been set it up, yeah? So, if there is no time for Mananam, then Shravanam won't be very effective. It won't give any much of a productive result from that. When Krishna said to Arjuna in the last chapter, Purusha prakritistohi buddhe prakritijan gunan, Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu, he said. Arjuna, Krishna said to Arjuna, Arjuna, Purusha is prakritistobi, when he is situated in the prakriti, bhungte prakritijan gunan, he cakes eating the gunam, prakriti's nature, and karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. Because of three modes of material nature, these people are taking birth in different species. That has triggered the question in Arjuna's mind, what is these three modes of nature? And that is why Krishna explained this chapter. The connection between 13th chapter and the 14th chapter is, this verse, 21st verse in the 13th chapter, has triggered this question in Arjuna's mind to ask, what is this about three modes of nature? Karanam gunasangase, it's a famous statement. Sadasad yoni janmasu. Why are we getting different types of bodies? Why are we taking different births in different places and different parents and different species and male, female, all these varieties? Why is it happening? That's a karanam gunasangasya. Gunam is responsible for that. Karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu. So it is from there that question triggered this. And that made Arjuna to understand that the prakritistattvam guneshaya sankam samsara karanam iti uktam. When Arjuna heard that is what is responsible, and Arjuna having these doubts about it, that if it is like that, the kathamma bhajanti gunebhyaja, what is this, what gunam causes what sangam, and what are those gunam, and how do the Purusha gets bound by the gunam? These things, and how to get released from the gunam, and what is the symptoms of a person who is released from the gunam, all these things came up at that time, and that is how Krishna started talking about this knowledge of the gunam, three modes of nature. So, karanam gunasangasya sadasad yoni janmasu prakritistobi purushan punjan prakritijar gunan. So that verse has triggered this doubts in Arjuna's mind. Krishna could see that, and therefore Krishna decided to talk about three modes of nature. That's how three modes of nature came right after this chapter. Apart from that, as I'm saying, that many things in the Bhagavad Gita, you have to think your own way. Don't depend on commentators and all that. You also have to think. The problem is that most of the people leave everything to commentators. And we think we don't have to think. No, we have to make it our own. And you have to think on our own way. And otherwise it won't sink in. It will stay in the commentators' books and it will remain as a... It won't be effective on us. We won't get the benefit of that. Bhagavad Gita is to be Swamshikaranam. Swamshikaranam means to make it one's own. Everybody has to make it their own realization, the knowledge of the Bhagavad Gita. Everybody has to do that on their own. But the longer you delay it, the less it will become, the more it becomes difficult. Because this is, Krishna has spoken this for everyone, not only for the commentators. Commentators commented it because they have deeper realizations on that. You can take advantage of that, but we ourselves have to think about it and get the maximum benefit out of the Bhagavad Gita. In the Bhagavadam, Krishna spoke about Vadandi Tattvavidam Tattvam Yajnanam Advayam Brahmedi Paramatmedi Bhagavanidi Shabdyade. Is it not? So, Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, three stages of realizations, he spoke about that. Actually, Krishna is saying that they are one and the same. Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan, Idi Shabdyade. But they call it, realization is same, but you call it by three different, different people address it in different ways. Shabdyade, it says. Based on that. Some people call it as Brahmam, somebody calls, Jnanis calls it as Brahmam, Yogis calls it as Paramatma, and devotees calls it as Bhagavan. That is how it has come like that. Brahmedi, Paramatmedi, Bhagavanedi, Shabdyade. If you look into Bhagavad Gita, how Krishna has presented that, the same principle, how he brought it into Bhagavad Gita. If you have thought about it, you can see there that Krishna is saying to us that Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma Nashojati Naga Amshadi Samasarveshu Bhudeshu Bhadbhaktim Levade Param. He is talking about that Brahma Bhutam stage, which is the Aham Brahmasmi stage first. Yeah. So Brahmam, what was spoken in the Bhagavadam, in Krishna, when he put it into Bhagavad Gita, he spoke in this way. Brahma Bhuta Prasannatma. Brahma Bhutam is that Aham Brahmasmi stage. Na shojati naka amshadi sama sarveshu bhudeshu madbhaktim labade param. He said like that. And then when it came to Paramatma realization, Krishna spoke in a different way. Ishvara sarva bhudanam hriddeshe arjuna dishtadi brahmayan sarva bhudani yantrarudhani maya. So you can see how Krishna is also referring to these three different realizations in three different places, in three different ways. Aham Brahmasmi realization he put through that verse, Brahma Buddha Prasannatma. Andaryami realization, he spoke about that in the Ishvara Sarvabhudanam verses, right? So Ishvara Sarvabhudanam is referring to the Andaryami realization basically, which calls yogis as Paramatma realization in the Bhagavadam, what is spoken. Yeah? And then when it came to Bhagavan realization, Krishna spoke in a different way. That rather the way it is, we understand it. That's the problem. We understand something about it, and people are also quoting this verse very freely. That when it came to Bhagavan realization, Krishna says there that it is actually this Sarvadharman Parityajya Mamegam Sharanam Raja Aham Tvam Sarvabhyabhyo. That is the Bhagavan realization. Why is it so? Because the Ahangaram inside us is major responsible. And we talked about it last Sunday, that there are three types of realization, self-realization itself. Realization which is based on Atma realization, self-realization, Atma realization. Then Atma Sakshatkaram. And then Ishvara realization, realizing Ishvara, same Atma present in everyone as Ishvara, that realization. And the third one is Kripa realization. Kripa Sashatkaram, it's called, coming from Krishna's mercy, purely by mercy getting realized. Not through Jnanamargam or Yogamargam, but completely by mercy, by bhakti, or through, you can say, Kripa, mercy, right? So this Kripa realization means what? What does that mean? It means, in realization, what normally happens is, our main problem is this Ahangaram inside. Ahangaram doesn't go away easily. Ahangaram causes all the problems. So when Ahangaram gets completely wiped out from inside, when all Ahangaram completely goes away, that is when Kripa Sakshatkaram comes, or Kripa realization comes. And that is when Sarvadharman Parityajya happens. You can't do it on your own, that thing. We are thinking that it is, people have all misunderstanding. They are reading something, they are understanding something different. But you can understand why Krishna spoke that verse at the end, last 18th chapter. Because that comes purely out of Kripa, Krishna's mercy. That's what it is. And that mercy comes when Ahangaram goes away. Completely Ahangaram gone, then there is only mercy there, nothing else. So, three different realizations in Bhagavadam, Krishna has presented in the Bhagavad Gita at three different instances, through different verses, But you can see the connection there. Aham Brahmasmi realization is the realization of the Brahmam. Brahmam realization, Aham Brahmasmi. One leads to another, there is no doubt about that. They are all same, but it is happening in three different levels, it happens. But ultimately you can see the... that is why this chapter, all these chapters requires a lot of thinking behind it. Thinking helps a lot to get a grip of it. Otherwise you will never understand why... Simply saying that everything has been spoken, accepting it like an instruction is no good. It is no good at all. This way. So Krishna was saying last Sunday, we saw that with the mind it may not understand. Mind is not the thing. What is happening is the Antaryami has to give that understanding, right? So Astitvam, we talked about that, our existence, right? In the last chapter, Krishna mentioned that the only thing what we are sure about ourselves is our existence, Astitvam, our existence, right? All other things we are not sure. Body, we are not sure about that. Mind, we are not sure about that. Buddhi, we are not sure about that. And then senses, we are not sure about that. So, in this whole thing, nothing is sure. You can say it will exist forever, except this existence. Existence, we are sure, because we know the day we were born, we are conscious of our existence. We were conscious of our existence in the womb also. Even when we came out, we were conscious of our existence, and it's there throughout the life, from beginning to end, that we exist, that awareness, bodham, inside. Yeah. So, in the last chapter, Krishna said that this body is the center, and within that there is this kshetrajna, present inside, right? Idam shariram kaundeya kshetram ithabhidhiyate. Kshetram means what? This body, gross body, right? Kshetram, Krishna compared that with a field, isn't it? Paddy field or a rice field, you can say like that, right? So, the nature of the field is that you sow the seeds and plants are sprouts from that, right? And within this, inside us, there is a lot of seeds that we have sown inside in several lifetimes. That's all inside us, yeah, in the subtle body, in the form of vasana, in the form of vasana, right? And that means in different bodies, when we pass through different bodies, we have sown these seeds inside, and when the right time comes, they will sprout. When the right time comes, they will sprout, right? And sometimes what we have never expected, it will sprout. It will come out from us, and we will start thinking, why did I do this? Why did I do that? Right? And not only that, what you have sown alone is not what will sprout. Right? So, for example, if you go into the, not here, everything is too organized, but in the in the garden, in the villages in India, if you go up into the garden, nobody takes care of the garden like the way with the gardener and the machinery and all that. Doesn't exist. It's all open. And all sorts of plants will sprout in the garden. You may plant some bananas or coconuts or anything, but apart from that, all so many different types of plants will sprout in the field, right? So, and you didn't plant them, but it came out, right? So, similarly, this body, while it has appeared in this world and it's living its life here, right, without our knowledge, lot of things will come out from us without our knowledge. It's not difficult to understand, but you can see that is why we feel we have no control over this life. So many things happens in this life, in our world, right? So, there is a field inside where all these different kinds of things will come out from inside, right? Actually, we don't know anything about this body. I have to say this again and again. We really don't understand this body, right? And those people who think that they know about this body, they also don't know, to be honest about it, right? They are doing what they can with their understanding what they got from that, right? It is a mystery. This body is a mystery, right? And that is why it is, Krishna calls it as Maya. The reason why he calls this body as Maya is because it is a mystery. This body is a mystery, right? Why is it called Maya? The reason is this. Anything in this world which does not allow you to fully understand it, right? That is what is called Maya. Maya's nature is you will never be able to understand it fully, what this body is, yeah? And we know that. That is the reality. Maya is such a power. Anything that it does not allow you to understand it fully, in other words, you think that you may have understood something, but then the next step it will completely confuse you with other questions, right? So that is why it is mentioned like that. Yukti guhya vastu prakashamatma samya maya. That your logic and reasoning won't work with this body. Your logic and reasoning won't work with this body. And Maya means vastu is there, the body is there, but you won't be able to understand this body completely. How this body functions and how the body will react to different situations and how the body will behave itself. It's very difficult to predict, right? So that is how life is. The life is, we are carrying such a thing with us, right? So it is because of this only that you also cannot understand this life in this world completely. You cannot logicize it, the life in this world. All you can do is you come here and then you're trying to survive in this situation somehow. And then if you're lucky enough, you will survive through. If not, you're gone. This is all our existence in this world. All other is nonsense. Whatever we are talking about is all useless at the end, right? So why is it like that? Because you can see that I dreamt something last night and I want to find out why I dreamt that. And if I do some research on that, I won't get any answer for that, would I? I dreamt something yesterday and I'm trying to think, why did I dream that? I don't know. It has come in the dream, right? So why did I get that particular dream? Things you also know that you get such dreams which you didn't plan, but it has come in your dreams. You didn't plan that, right? So some of the things are useless, meaningless also, what you see in the dream, right? So in the same way, the life also, like the dream. Yeah. So many things comes and confuses everything and it goes in this world, right? And it is not possible to understand that, why it happens in life in that way, right? Because Maya won't allow you to do so. Maya has complete grip on the whole thing. It is Maya, this chapter is Maya. Basically, Gunatraya means what? Maya. So Maya's nature you have to know first, how Maya is. Maya means she won't give you any clue what is happening. She'll keep everything in suspense. If you try to find out, sometimes she will give you something and then changes the whole thing again later. And then you will get confused again. In the same way about this life, if you look at it, if your own life, if you analyze yourself, you can see throughout your life, you look back into your last 40, 50 years, how you have ended up the way you are now and where you started the whole journey, there is no connection between the two. It all happened one way or the other and it all happened in a particular way, right? So in this way, because it won't allow to understand, Maya won't allow us to understand anything fully, you can look at this body, medical science or the modern science, you can look at all of them. It's the same thing. The end result is nobody has any answer to these things, right? It is going on like this. This research will go on, science will go on, medical science will go on, modern science also will keep on
research laboratory, researching, going on like this, endlessly it will go on like that, right? So, what you see today will change tomorrow. Yeah. And whatever you find tomorrow through your research, it will change again after some time, right? So, similarly, independently, we have no knowledge independently of each of the parts of our body as well. If you look at it, yeah? You look at your own body, for example. I have not seen my liver or kidney or anything inside the stomach is there. I hear that liver is this, kidney is this, if they show me the photo, and the heart, they are telling me this is all inside you, this is what it is, right? So, if you have not studied through photos, you won't know it ever. Suppose you had no photograph. You will live in this world without knowing what this liver is, what kidney is, what heart is. The body will die and go. Yeah. So otherwise you will understand. Because independently to know that, if you ask me the question, have you seen your liver? I am saying I have got a liver. But if somebody asks me, have you seen your liver? I have to say, I have not seen my liver. Only thing is, somebody takes me a photograph or a scan and then show it to me that is the liver. Sometimes they'll show you all the lungs and the scar in the lungs and all. I'm looking, thinking, what do I understand looking at that photograph or the film, what they have taken from the scan, right? So, so you can see here that even the doctor also, has not seen his kidney or liver. And he is saying to me that this is your kidney and liver after showing the photos, right? So, if you say that only if I see it, I'll believe it, then what can I say? I can't even see my eye with which I'm seeing the things. I can't even see my own eye. Similarly, I can't see my brain. And so, independently, any of these parts of the body, none of them, independently, you have no knowledge. Collectively, you think that they are all together in a package. Kidney, liver, heart, all the other senses, everything together. Right? So, that's a big world, this body is a big world. Right? And if you go inside this, you will ask this question, is this dead matter or is there life inside? Is this Jadam or it is Chaitanyam? That question will come, right? So, whether this body is really Jadam, it works on its own, or is there a Chaitanyam inside? This question will come. Yeah. Suppose I am dead, then what am I then? Am I Jadam or am I Chaitanyam at that time? So, if you go through your, microscope and all that, if you use that, if you look in each of the cells in my body, at that time, there is the presence of several other living entities present inside the cells, right? And they are also part of me here. You see how confusing this body is. I am saying this is my body. Similarly, in the cells in my body, there are other living entities present inside. They are saying, that is their body. Whose body is it? Is it their body or is it my body? Where is the answer to all this? Collectively, together, I am saying, this is my body, this whole package. But you know very well, within your own body, in my body, there are other living entities living there. Individual consciousness, in other words, living entities. They are present there. So, there also, like I have this experience, I am saying that I am this body. They are also saying they are that body, what they are present there, right? So it is difficult to call this as Jadam. So, I am saying somebody else who is dead body, is saying, I am calling it as Jadam. That's all it is. But in that body also, there is other living entities present in that body. when the body is dead, in that body there are other living entities living there. Something has left the body, is not? So, jadam, you cannot experience it. That's the first thing to know. Jadam, you cannot experience it. Anubhavam, or experience, is only possible with Chaitanyam. That's the important thing to realize. Anubhavam is for Chaitanyam, not for jadam, right? So, what you have experienced inside as anubhavam, that is why what we call that, that is what we call as jadam actually. That's what we call as jadam. For example, I cannot experience you. Therefore, I will say that you are, when you leave the body, I'll say jadam about your body, because I cannot experience you anytime. And similarly, this body also, I will call it as jadam, but the whatever that is not possible for me to experience through senses, indriya vedyam it's called. Therefore, I will call you as jadam as long as I cannot perceive you through the senses. For example, if I close my eyes, I have no knowledge of your existence, isn't it? I have no knowledge of your existence. So I can only say you are Chaitanyam only when my senses are open, eyes are open, and if you are moving. Suppose you are lying there without any doing anything, I have to see you as jadam only. And only when my senses are working, and if you are making movements, then I get the reaction, the response that you, there is Chaitanyam in you. Yeah. So from this, what the conclusion is, that this awareness inside us, what we call as aham, Krishna mentions many times in the Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, isn't it? Aham. That aham is the only reality in everything. Right? So, drishya padartham, like all these things, they don't have any experience of aham in them. There is no aham in there. Right? Similarly, shariram, body also doesn't have that aham. And because if I Chaitanyam leaves this body, then this body is not much different than the table or the book or the microphone or the bottle. Isn't it? It's just dead matter, like anything else. Once the Chaitanyam leaves this, right? So, so if you carefully think through all these things, then you will know that this thing called the body, how it has come like this, and that we don't know. How, what all created this body, the whole information we don't have. It's a known thing, isn't it? It's not difficult to understand. We all have different types of bodies. Male body, female body, different species, and different vasanas, different mind, and different intelligence. Why have we come like this? Each one of us, so different from one from another. So this variety, what has happened is, because he's saying here that we, Maya, will not give you that understanding. Maya has kept everything to herself. And that is why this chapter is important. Gunatra Vibhaga Yogam. And without knowing these things, you won't get a clarity about the soul. Without knowing these things. Close soul, it is a very complex subject this is. It's a very, very complex subject. And that is why Krishna is saying to us, in several ways he is trying to get this point across to us. He raised this to Arjuna also to make him understand that you will see Krishna mentions this in the fifth chapter, I think it is mentioned. There are a few verses I mentioned to you before. Nādate kasijit pāpam nacaiva sukradam vibhu ajñāninavardam jñānam tena mukhyanti jantava. He says all living entities are in ignorance. They have no idea what is going on. Yeah. First of all, Krishna is saying that you see how ignorant we are. First of all, let's understand that. How ignorant we are, right? Everyone who comes to this world, he will engage in karma. Isn't it not? Straight away, karma is our priority. And as we grow older and older, we get so serious about karma. Our education is all centered around karma. Our life is centered around karma. And the whole purpose of living in this world is to do karma. So from all angles, if you look at it, and that's what we have done throughout life, this thing called karma, right? Karma is with us all the time when we are in this world. We are always doing karma, one way or the other. Karma is with us in some or the other. Krishna is saying to us, karma is not your nature. Now, when he makes a statement like that, most of the people do not understand it, what they are saying, Krishna is saying. Krishna is saying, in your Swarupam, there is no karma at all. There is no karma in us. It is not our Swarupam. Actually, karma has come from Subhav. You see? Karma has come from Subhavam. Karma is not in the Swarupam. This one point, if you can drive inside and accept it, you will get a better understanding of spiritual life. Otherwise, you won't. Because people are thinking that this karma is an essential part of us. And when Krishna is categorically stated in the Bhagavad Gita that na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srajati prabhu, Krishna is saying that prabhu inside Andaryami, which is the our real nature, na kartrutvam na karmani, I am the doer, is not there in him. And na karmani, karmam is not in him. Logasya srajati prabhu, na karma bhalasam yogam svabhavastu pravartade, requires very, very, very deep understanding of that verse. Yeah, that na karma bhalasam yogam. Similarly, doing karmam, getting results back and all, is nothing to do with Andaryami. Which means, for in our pure state, we don't have any of these things. Na karma bhalasam yogam, na kartrutvam, na karmani. None of them is present in us. That is the categorical statement from Krishna. But because we have no understanding, and we twist everything to suit our ideas, because karma vasana is so strong inside. So to justify my karma, I will use Bhagavad Gita for that. That is the sad side of it. If you go against Bhagavad Gita and misinterpreting like that, when Krishna is point blank telling us, na kartrutvam, na karmani, logasya srajati prabhu, na karma phalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. Svabhavam is working in you. Your svabhavam, what is this svabhavam then? Then the question comes like that. Yeah. So, and the problem is that karma, it is difficult to give up also, because it has come with us, with all our vasanas and all our propensities. We will engage in karma. And even if you stay quietly, karma is going on inside this body, isn't it? That digestion is happening, that's karma. Blood is circulating, that's karma. Sleep is happening, that's karma. So, how can you give up karma then? It's not possible, because that is the way we are created. The structure is like that. So any karma, whatever it may be, it is not possible to give up karma like that, because the way we are engineered or we are manufactured in that way, right? And then we are talking about nitya karmam, nishiddha karmam, kamya karmam, and all these things, right? So, but if you keep analyzing Krishna's different statements on karmam, and in other places as well, right? You can see Krishna is saying that through your analysis, through your power of discrimination, can say that body, mind, and similarly the ahankaram inside. Karmam comes means ahankaram comes there. When karmam happens, ahankaram will be there. Because ahankaram is the one which is pushing the karmam to happen. To know that none of this is me, neither the body nor the mind nor the ahankaram, none of this is me. Instead, the one behind all these things, which is allowing these things to happen, that is the Antaryami. And if you have realized that, that awareness has come, that I have nothing to do with this body or the mind or the senses or the karma that's coming through this body, all this is happening in the presence of that Surupam Antaryami, but this is all happening in the Subhavam. If that has happened, then you can say that karmam, you have become free from karma, right? And that is what Krishna called it as karmanya karmaya pashyet, he said. He is referring to that state. Yeah, it's not just verses that he has said something. No, there is a whole background behind that. Karmanya karmaya pashyet means that state where you come to realize the Antaryami. And from Antaryami's position, when you look at this, he is seeing that karmam is all happening in the body, mind, senses, things like that. That means it is not happening in the Antaryami. It's happening in the other things, which is the Subhavam. These are all parts of Subhavam. Which one's the body, the mind, the senses, everything. Right? So, till you realize that Antaryami inside, this realization of giving up karmam is difficult. Because only when you realize Antaryami inside, you have broken that connection with karma. Till then karmam is with you in one form or the other. Right. So, that is why when you come to that state, when you have realized that Antaryami inside, then what will happen is that even if he is, still he may do karmam, but he is not conscious of that, like the way we are. Antaryami is conscious that he is not doing anything. The ahankaram is doing everything. Body is doing, mind is doing, he is not doing. He has realized that stage, right? No matter how much he has worked, that is the how the realized souls operate. Yeah. Whatever they do, they don't feel that they have done anything. Nothing has affected them. It means there is no weight of that karma in there. So when that happens, they may do karma, and sometimes there is no karma coming from them. And he is not affected by either of them. Right? Either of them. And after saying that, Krishna said there, this kartrutva bhoktrutva, what is present in all of us, right? That thing, right? Jada shariram, the dead body, or the body without the presence of the Antaryami inside. Is there kartrutva in there, in the body? It is interesting to know these things because then you start seeing things differently. When you understand these things, right? The body never says, me. Body never say like that, right? Suppose I cut my hand off and leave it there. The hand doesn't say, I am this body. Or hand is like any other object in this world. Dead matter lying there, right? It doesn't have the experience like I have now, I. That experience in me, I am. The hand, if you cut it off and leave it there, the hand won't have that. Yeah? And hand won't say, I belong to this body. Hand won't say anything. Hand will just lie there. Right? Same thing, if I cut off my leg and leave it there, the leg won't say, the leg belongs to this body. Leg has no awareness inside. It has just become a dead matter and lies there. So that doesn't, the hand or the leg, which has taken up from the body, does not have kartrutvam. I am the doer in them. And similarly, Krishna is saying to us, this body also doesn't have kartrutvam. This kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, body is also not saying body has done some job or done some work. So kartrutvam is not present in the body. What Krishna is trying to say this to us is that na kartrutvam na cha karmani logasya srijati prabhu. He is making us clear to us that in you there is no kartrutvam. That means as andaryami, in the realized state. But then who has got kartrutvam? See, the kartrutvam, when he is referring to, that body is not saying it has got kartrutvam. Body has no kartrutvam. Andaryami also Krishna is saying it has no kartrutvam. So, but somebody is from inside is saying, I have done the karmam and I am getting the results of my karmam, right? I have got difficulties, right? I've got distress. I've got material existence. I am suffering. Where is all this coming from? Svabhavam. Svabhavam. And that svabhavam is ahangaram. Understand this. Ahangaram is not the gross thing when you feel very proud about somebody, I have done this, I have done that. No. The svabhavam or ahangaram is in everyone. It's present inside. Yeah. So that ahangaram which is making this claim that he has done something, he is the one who is making this claim all the time, and its nature, that ahangaram, his name is svabhava. His name is svabhava, right? And that is what we call it as personality. Personality of a person is that ahangaram. Personal image. How did that come? Because we have done karmam for several time and that avidya, what it has created from the karmam, its after effect is this ahangaram. For several lifetimes, the karmams what we have done, it all piled up and become a very powerful force inside, and that is what's called svabhavam, or it's called ahangaram. That's what actually it is, right? So that is why Krishna is saying, it is difficult to say about this svabhavam, the nature of this svabhavam, because it is a product of several lifetimes, come from several bodies, created for a karma. And that is all piled up together and came in the form of this ahangaram. So, in order to, how can you get rid of that? That's somehow, right? And you have to inquire about that, right? And the problem with all of us is, we have accepted that and recognized it as though it's real, which is not real from Krishna's position. From Krishna's position, ahangaram is not real. Yeah, you know how Krishna hates this ahangaram when he talks about it. Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, right? So you can understand that this ahangaram is our problem, and that's what we are identifying with. We are identifying with that. And that ahangaram is causing all the problems as well. Body is not claiming any kartrutvam. Andaryami is not claiming any kartrutvam. Ahangaram is claiming all the kartrutvam. I am the doer. This thinking is coming from that, right? And it has come inside. It's just like a devil inside, right? A devil inside. And this devil gives trouble to Andaryami. And it gives trouble to the body as well. Who? This ahangara, called a devil. It gives trouble to Andaryami and it gives trouble to body as well, right? And he is in between these two. Between the body as well as the Andaryami. And that is why in Shastram it's called Chitjada Grandhi. That's a word for that. Chitta Jadam Grandhi is a connection. The bondage between Chitta and Jadam. Chitjada Grandhi. Very famous word. In Vedantam, Upanishads, everywhere you'll find this word. Chitjada Grandhi. Right? So, it is neither Chit nor it is Jadam. And another place Krishna will say Hridaya Grandhi. Vidyade Hridaya Grandhi Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. Shriyande chasya karmani dushta eva alpanishvare. Dushta eva paravare in the Upanishad. It says like that. So you can see that Granthi, Chidjada Granthi or Hridaya Granthi, and it gives trouble to both, to the body as well, because this is dead matter, Shariram, Deham. And similarly, it gives trouble to Chaitanyam, Andaryami also. Why it does give trouble? Because Chaitanyam, it becomes a cause of bondage for the Chaitanyam. Because this Andaryami, this Ahankaram is inside, we have to transmigrate from one body to another. It is that Ahankaram that is transmigrating, Swabhavam that is transmigrating from one body to another. And when it transmigrates, Andaryami has to go along with that, even though he is not involved, right? That is how it caused trouble for the Chaitanyam. Then it causes distress for the body, Shariram, because of this Ahankaram. It causes a lot of trouble, right? Because he stands in between Chaitanyam and between the Chaitanyam and the Jadam, and says to us, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer and all that. That's who is saying that. This Ahankaram is saying this. He stands in between that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, and he keeps making these statements, right? So, no matter how many times you tell them that you are not the doer, not the, he's not going to listen. He'll come back and he'll still make you feel that you are the doer, you are the enjoyer, right? So, even if you have studied all the Shastram and you have thought about it enough, and even if you try to become free from him, from this devil inside, the devil won't let you go. Devil will hold you back and again make you surrender to the devil. And you will have to listen to the devil. You have no other choice, right? So, and in that devil, Ahankaram inside, we have all the things what we have collected. It is Swabhavam, as I mentioned before, from all the vasanas what we have created from previous lives. They are all present inside that Ahankaram, right? In there is the element of dog, cat, rat, and tiger, and all other animals, because we have gone through all those bodies, and they are all present in that, inside that, right? And even now, modern science is also saying that in the DNA, this is our DNA, when they look, they say they can see the presence of all other animals also in our DNA. They can see that. Science is saying this, right? Similarly, but when they looked at the DNA of the animals, they can't see our presence in them. When they looked at our DNA, they see all the animals and everything. Presence of animals, birds, all that, their presence in our DNA. But when they looked at their DNA, they can't see the presence of humans' nature in them. Yeah. So this Ahankaram, Abhimanam, what we call it as, it's a different manifestations, it's all that. In other words, this Ahankaram carries several lifetimes our what we have traveled through, and its part is present in that. Yeah. And that is why you can say that all human beings are alike, right? But it is not possible to be alike. We want all human beings to be equal and alike, but that's not possible, because we have come like this with a different Ahankaram in us. Different Ahankaram. And in each of our, you see how the rishis have thought through this in such a depth level that they are able to make this statement like that, right? So, so even though we may say that we all want to be equal and similar, it is not possible, because this Ahankaram, the devil inside, has come from different lifetimes, and it has brought with it different features. When we come to this human body first time from the animal world, 99% is animal, and there's only 1% we will be human nature in us, right? And that is how we come here first, And little by little, when the jiva becomes a little bit more educated by the world from outside, right, and starts beginning to think about life, jnana vicharam, when it starts, right, a little part of that animalistic nature leaves us, from us, goes away. And that is why only when that animalistic nature leaves us, that is when you start thinking about yourself, what you are. When the animalistic nature leaves us, to some extent, to a large extent, that is when you start thinking, who am I or what am I? These thoughts will come. Otherwise, it won't even come. You can see that also in this world. Right? So, in that swabhavam, you will find all these elements, right? You can see different people, different nature. Some people get very angry very quickly, and some people get very envious, some people will become very proud. So, all these things is not natural in us. It's not natural, right? Look at a dog, for example. You give some food to the dog, if another dog comes there, immediately will bark, that he's trying to defend something from the other dog, right? So, the only difference between a dog and us is because we have got a little bit that animalistic nature has left us. Therefore, we will be able to stop it, that nature coming out from us. Otherwise, there is not practically any difference between a dog and us. The dog will behave exactly the same way we will behave also, right? So different swabhavam of different species you can see in us. Yeah? Cat, dog, monkeys, rats, tiger, all these things is present in us to some extent, right? So this bhudam or this devil, what is inside, this can do so many things. For example, someone who is born from a very nice background, family background, in the sense that the family was following a very dharmic way of life, moral way of life, a member of that family, if this devil goes inside, he can become an alcoholic, an addict, or a drunkard, or whatever it is, right? And he starts eating meat, alcohol, all other habits comes along with him. It is like that. That all comes from that swabhavam of that what is inside. People sometimes surprise, oh, he was born in a good family, why does he do things like that? They say about sometimes about people, isn't it? But then it's not surprising. Why? Because the devil inside has got all these things with him, right? So that devil, even if you decide not to do something, it will force you to do it. This ahangaram inside, right? So, and it is capable of pushing us into very difficult situations, right? So, this is an important thing to understand this. Why? It is because of the rishis understood this thing called swabhavam very well. Yeah? They analyzed swabhavam very much. And they came to the conclusion that it is better that than doing good things, better than doing good thing is better not to do bad things. This is a very, very, very profound statement from the Upanishads. Upanishads are saying that if you do a lot of good things in this world, better than that is, much more effective is, if you don't do any bad things. So that is why in Vedic philosophy, they didn't give much importance to social service. This is the reason behind it. It's a very profound thinking it is. Yeah? What they are saying to us, rishis are saying to us is, you are doing a lot of nonsense and then you are going and doing a lot of good things. Relief work. Yeah? All kinds of relief work we are doing in this world. Stupid things. They'll go and fight and kill each other and then the relief work comes. and asking money for that. What a nonsense is this? Is it not? You see that in Palestine and Ukraine and everything. What kind of people are this? Is this, what kind of thinking is behind this? I just cannot get to terms with it. Rishis have always said this. You don't have to do many good things in this world. You don't have to save this world. You don't do bad things. You control your swabhavam rather than you want to help everybody else. And when they talk about helping, saving this, saving that, they want to save everybody. And on the other side, they are creating the biggest havoc in this world. Do you understand what I'm saying? That Rishi's approach is that. Rishi's never approved this so-called modern social services and what you call helpline, hotline and all that. So Rishi's didn't have any of those nonsense. They are saying to us that you don't have to do any social service in this world. You change your swabhavam. You change your swabhavam. Swabhavastu pravartate. Krishna's stress is on the swabhavam. Rather than doing all kinds of relief operations in this world, the better thing is that you live your life in the proper understanding. And that makes more sense than anything else. Yeah? So, rather than doing good things in this world, if you don't do bad things, that will help this world. And that you can see that here in this world. On the one hand, we are doing all nonsense. We want to increase our sense gratification. We want so much oil for that. And we are willing to fight and kill each other for that. And then rare metals we want so that we can increase our sense gratification. Everything for sense gratification we want. And then we want relief work also. What does it mean? Is there more stupid than this? Such a misunderstood thing that the rishis didn't approve this. So in Vedic system, they will never approve this kind of thing. This is not Vedic knowledge. This is not Rishi's approach. Rishis are saying that you control your life in such a way so that you don't exploit the nature, you don't become sinful, you don't need any relief operations then. All this has happened because of our own stupidity, isn't it? How we acted in this world, we created the havoc, and then we are sending the relief work. United Nations is sitting there for this job to send the relief work, right? So destroying our sinful nature is more important than providing much more, relief work or what you call social services and things like that. So destroying that worst part inside us, destruction of that. And when you start trying to do that, that at that time this ahangaram will come up and it will tell us that it will come in the form of abhimanam and it will create that asuric nature in us. That is what you have to fight against, that asuric nature. And that is why Krishna is saying after this, the other chapter, asuric nature. These are the spiritual life is fighting against all these things, not anything else, right? So I think you have understood the essence, what I was saying, what the Rishi's approach I am saying. Now it's up to you to think what makes sense more. Whether the Rishi's approach makes sense or the modern society makes sense. Rishis are saying that economic development and in that process you are losing complete control over yourself, exploiting the material nature, and in that process of sense gratification you are creating so much havoc, and then when trouble comes, then you are trying to fix it by your different social services. Rather than doing that, their attitude is that you control your life properly and satisfied with minimum things in life and maintain a simple life, then you don't need any of these relief operations. It's not required. It won't happen then. And that is making more sense than the other things, right? So, that does not mean that you don't do anything for others. What it's saying is that if you give more stress for changing our swabhavam or destroying our nature in us, right? What will happen is in a natural way from ourselves inside, good things will come. Good results will come. That means positive actions will come from us. If we destroy the negative nature in us, if we destroy that, bhutisandehangaram, then positive thoughts will come from inside. So the negativity, you have to wipe it out from inside. The naturally noble actions will come out from inside. Yeah. So the negative actions is this lust, anger, greed, kamam, krodham, lobham, all those things, right? And they are all the negative ones. So the rishis are saying, if you can get rid of them from inside, that will be a better solution than going all the way to do all the, millions and billions of dollars spent on the saving the world in otherwise, right? So because of this reason only, that rishis never gave any importance to social service. They didn't give any importance to social service, right? So, because they are saying to us that you have got all the problems inside you, envy, pride, anger, all those things, and then you are going and doing seva in the society with all these things inside. You are going and doing the seva in the society. So what will happen is, in everything what you do, you will bring your vasana and dissolve in that. That's what will happen. You'll go and do so many services, and in all that service, you will bring your vasanas and you will mix it with all your social service, what you are doing, right? So, on the other hand, if you are able to remove all the bad things inside, and even if you sit quietly in one place without doing anything, you will do a lot of service to this world rather than doing all the other service. So their approach is like that. But problem is, people, if you say these things, they don't believe it. They won't accept it. Why is it like that? Because they have more faith in the karma. They'll be driven by the karma inside, right? So because they have more faith in the karma, because if we don't have social service, how will people find the karma? In order to do karma, you need social service. So that they can keep themselves occupied. Otherwise, they'll go mad. This is a difficulty. Krishna is telling us, try to understand the swabhavam, he says. And that swabhavam is where change is required. And Krishna said that, swabhava vijayam shaviryam, in the Agadasham. He said not. Swabhavam, he has mentioned the Bhagavad Gita about 8 or 10 times. Swabhavastu pravartade. Swabhavam, in Naishkarman Siddhi, he's talking about that, right? So, the thing is that removing this negativity inside, or swabhavam inside, that is where the stress should be, more than helping the world and saving the world. Right? If you do like that, what will happen is, the positive thoughts will come from inside in a natural way, from such people, right? And then the problems will be solved with that. You can look at the people, leaders in this world, what their problem is, isn't it? How they are interacting each other. From there itself you can see their swabhavam is coming out, right? So that is why Krishna mentioned that in that chapter, in the 5th chapter, he said that, he said not. You see, Krishna put it everything very simple forms in verses, right? And he said that, na kartratvam, na karmani, logasya srajadi prabhu, na karma phalasam yogam, svabhavastu pravartade. That one line, svabhavastu pravartade. If you have understood that line properly, svabhavastu pravartade, then you understand this world. Svabhavastu pravartade. Svabhavam is what is doing everything. Nothing else. Right? So svabhavastu pravartade, he said. Yeah? And then he said that whatever that is happening in that Svabhavam, it is not affecting you. Because you are actually the Antaryami inside. So Svabhavam has nothing to do. It's not affecting you. But except that we are not able to identify with the Antaryami. Therefore you suffer because of that. So, and then he said that Svabhavam does the pious activities. Svabhavam does all the sinful activities, right? And Svabhavam gets the result of pious activities. Svabhavam, everything is Svabhavam only. You think that you have done some pious activity. Actually, no. Svabhavam has done that. And when the results are coming, Svabhavam is having it. You are not getting any effect from that. You means the Antaryami inside. He's not affected by that. So the difficulty is this, that as long as I am feeling happiness and distress in this world, it means that I am under the grip of Svabhavam. If I am, Svabhavam is controlling me, means I will feel the happiness and distress of this world. Right? And so long as you are identifying with the Svabhavam, you will never get to know your Swarupam. Yeah? So long as you are identifying with the Svabhavam, means which you are feeling happiness and distress in this world, and your identification is there with the Svabhavam, Swarupam you will never get to know what Swarupam is. Right? So these two things we have got, Swarupam and Svabhavam, right? And Swarupam is our real me, real I is that Swarupam, right? And Svabhavam is our personality, which is dealing in this world, doing all the interactions, vyavaharam, transactions, everything in the society. Swarupam is not a member of the society. Svabhavam is a member of the society. You understand? Svabhavam is a member of the society. Swarupam does not belong to any society. Yeah. So society is based on Svabhavam. I'm just saying this to make understand that to put all the faith in the society is nonsense. It's useless. It makes no sense. Because society is based on Svabhavam of a person, right? Spiritual life is based on Swarupam. Spiritual life is based on Swarupam. Society is based on Svabhavam. The two things don't work together. The two things don't work together. Without this clarity, if you live in the spiritual world, in spiritual life, and try to preach to others without knowing yourself what this is all about, you will put others also into trouble. You see, this kind of understanding, what in the modern world people are doing through institutions, I'll explain that more. You'll understand how the bad side of institutionalized spiritualism. There is a big bad side of it, which most of the people don't understand. They think institution has solved all the spiritual problems. But there is a wrong side of the institution when you look at it from the Rishi's point of view. Institutions won't allow you to realize the self at a certain stage. Yeah, we'll come to that later. So, without Svabhavam, you cannot be a part of the society. That's the way it is. It's a society, we are all together in a society because of our Svabhavam only. Right? In Swarupam, without Swarupam, you cannot enter into spiritual life. So that is why we are like this, the way we are now. We want to be part of the society. That means our Svabhavam is, we are identified with the Svabhavam. And therefore, Swarupam and spiritual life is foreign. We are not able to connect with it. And that's because of this problem. Swarupam, Svabhavam. Svabhavam is part of the society. Swarupam is part of spiritual life. So these two things cannot go together. They are two different things. Yeah. So, and in society, everyone is present, each one of us are present in this society, we're keeping our svabhavam to ourselves, right? So it is this svabhavam is called avidya. You see? You have to look at it. I mean, you may think that you are reading Bhagavad Gita and you think Krishna is very friendly to me, Krishna is... But when Krishna starts speaking the truth, it won't be very palatable to us. Because the avidya that is in us, Krishna says, till that goes, there's no point in talking about spiritual life. Because avidya is controlling us to such a depth inside. And therefore he is saying here that in society we are surviving because of svabhavam, right? And svabhavam is called avidya. And swarupam is called vidya. Swarupam is vidya, right? So, knowing, realizing, having vidya and becoming free from avidya. That's the way it has to be done. You have to realize, have the vidya inside and know the swarupam and become free from avidya or from svabhava, right? So therefore that person will, one who is trying to do that, he will have to suffer a bit, quite a lot, before he can, because most of the people don't want to come out of that svabhava. To come to swarupam, you have to come out of that avidya, right? So without knowing the vidya, able to live in this world, one person who lives in this world, giving importance to svabhavam. Most of the people, that's what they do, is it not? That they give importance to svabhavam, which means they give importance to that avidya, and try to live in this world. Such a person, he goes into the darkest of the region, hell, darkest of the hell, he is saying. Who says this? Ishavanishad. Look at Ishavanishad. Eleventh mantra. That's what it's about. Vidyaja vidyam chayas tad vedo bhayam saha avidyaya mrityam tirtva vidyayam amrtam asnute. That mantra, 11th mantra, page 66 in this book. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yes, tad vedo bhayam saha, abhayam saha, avidyayam mrityam tirtva, vidyayam amrtam asnute. Vidyayam amrtam asnute, he says that. So, that's what he is saying here. So, as long as I have that avidya, we live in this world, one who is able to have this vidya first, and able to realize the immortality, amrtatvam, and become free from the svabhavam called avidya, such a person, in other words, little by little, he wipes out avidya from inside, and one who becomes, perfects his life, such a person, Upanishad says, Ishopanishad says, Vidyayam amrtam asnuti, he will realize the truth, right? He will realize the truth. So, that's what that's about. So, this Gunatraya Vibhaga Yoga, what we are now discussing, right? Krishna is saying here that he called it as like this, the Anubhavam or Aham, that experience inside. That's the only thing what we really have in our experience, which is with us all the time, yeah? Things what you see with your eyes, they are not permanent. They will come, they will stay sometime, they will go afterwards. Right? Same thing with this body also. It will come, it stays sometime, and it will leave us one day. Right? So, So therefore, because it's not with us permanently, Krishna don't take it seriously. Neither the body, nor the mind, nor the gross body or the subtle body, or the senses, none of them is with us. And what to talk about the rest of the world? None of them is with us permanently. So therefore they are not important. So, and at the same time, how did we end up like this, in this situation? How did we end up like this? How did this happen? That this thing called body, how did I get connected with a body like this, right? We don't know that. It has appeared like this, right? There are so many things in this body. I have not seen that, but the doctors are saying that, right? Intestines and blood and so many other things. And even if you give all your attention and see what is in the body, for example, the blood, the veins, the arteries and all other things in the body, Krishna says, even if you have seen them, there's not particularly any benefit from that. Krishna's point is that. Even if you have seen all these things, what is going on inside this body, there's not particularly any benefit from that, and that's why Krishna called it as a kshetram. Krishna called it as a kshetram because of that. He says, by knowing all these things, what is going on in this body, because this body is not in us. In real me, body doesn't exist. Body doesn't exist, right? This body is something which is not me. Which is not me, right? And unfortunately, all our attention is on the kshetram. All our attention is on the kshetram, on the body, right? How to improve it, how to get it better, right? How to clean it, how to make it free from diseases, and can we do something more to make it stronger and to live longer, right? And in this way, all our time, whole life is invested in that. This has come one day and it grew up so for a long time, for some time, and then it started changing, and then it started this destruction process, and one day it dies and goes away, this body, and all our attention is on this. So on the other hand, what he's saying is that something else inside you, which is permanently with you, which never leaves you, and there you have no interest. This awareness, bodham, right? And this is this is avidya. Something that has come to us by chance, this body, it came, it grew up, and then it started changing, and then it started destruction. It died one day and it is gone. Just think about the avidya in this. Our whole time attention is on this. On the other hand, there is something inside us which is permanent, never dies, always with us, that bodham, awareness, who we are, what we are, that aham, aham, aham inside. We have no time for it. We have got all the time to look after this thing which is going to go one day. Right? Like you can see, we take very carefully the blood pressure, don't we? Similarly, diabetes, we've got the sugar. Every time I ask, you are diabetic? He says, no, pre-diabetic, you say. And he says, okay, then it's all right, he says. So, like this, all the attention is on the body. All the attention is on the body, right? Then anything happens to the heart, immediately we will start investigating that about the heart, right? But the problem is that none of them is very clear how it is working and how it's going to go, what will happen. You're fiddling with it basically in different ways, trying to get it going as long as you can. That's all you're expecting from that. You also know that it's not going to stay forever and it's not going to work forever. But meanwhile, you do what you can with it and see if it works, that's all. So, but the other thing, which one? This bodham inside us, which Shastram calls it as avaroksham. It's not seen by the eyes. Rest of it is all seen with the eyes, is it not? But this one inside, bodham, awareness, it's not seen by the eyes, and we have this experience of our existence all the time, that we exist. It's all the time it is there. And there we have no interest to know about it, about that awareness, right? And so this is why we are finding it difficult. This is our Shraddha is in the temporary and not in the permanent reality inside, right? So, and this thing, Antaryami, our permanent identity, it's been given to us freely. Krishna has given to us, because that's Krishna inside us, right? And we have no value for that, right? And people are thinking this Brahma Vidya is very complicated, because all the attention is in the body. Therefore, Brahma Vidya is very complicated, right? And the reason why they say like that is because we got it so freely. That's why. Krishna's presence inside as Antaryami is very simple, and he is not asking any money for that. He is present as ourselves inside as Antaryami, and no necessity to inquire about him, right? It's already available. Who said this? Prahlada. Siddhatvari Sambhava. Yeah. See, already we got it. Krishna, Prahlad is saying to everybody. Siddhatvad. He's already got it, he says. That means he doesn't have to come from outside, you have to work for it. Only thing is you have to recognize it inside. That recognition is missing, right? So that is the only treasure or the grace of Krishna is this vastu inside Nitya Siddhi. Is our existence. Our existence, which we are experiencing every time, right? And even if you if I close my eyes, my existence doesn't leave me. I'm still conscious of my existence, right? So, and it is continuously there all the time. You can say God doesn't exist. You can say like that. But you cannot say you don't exist. And is it not? I can say that God doesn't exist because I have not seen God. But I cannot say that I don't exist because it's in my experience I am existing. So it's difficult to refute that, right? So so one's own existence is called astitvam. That's the right word, astitvam, right? And nobody has any doubt about that. But, and then this, I am feeling my astitva, my existence. What does it mean? That is one inquiry about spiritual life. It's all about that, right? And Krishna said, is that existence, what is its swarupam, its identity, right? Is it happiness or distress? And what is its experience? All that is, Krishna is saying as kshetrajna. Kshetrajna means all that. That my existence, who I am, and what does that mean, that existence means? Is it happiness, or is it distress, or is it bliss? All those things related to that existence, Krishna calls it as kshetrajna. Kshetrajna, right? So, kshetram Krishna has spoken in one way, kshetrajna Krishna has spoken in a different way. So, what did he say? He said this kshetram and kshetrajna together is this world together, right? And so, after saying that, he said, Krishna said there, this kshetram is this body, and inside this is, this kshetrajna is present. Because of kshetrajna's presence, kshetram becomes conscious. And means kshetram manifests in this world. Kshetram existence is known. right? In other words, it is because of Kshetrajna inside, this Kshetram is known in the world by others, right? And only when the Kshetrajna is inside, the Kshetram has any importance. Otherwise, the Kshetram has no importance. If the Kshetrajna is not there, Kshetram has no importance, right? So who is this Kshetrajna? Is he the Jivatma? Krishna says, Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. I am the Kshetrajna, Krishna said, right? It's an amazing statement in the Bhagavad Gita. Kshetrajnam chapi mam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. He says, Krishna, Arjuna, that Kshetrajna is me. He made it clear to us, right? How can that be Krishna inside? So that is when this question comes, that then who am I? This question has come, right? Krishna is saying, I am the Kshetrajna. I am the Kshetrajna. But who is this? How can Krishna be the Kshetrajna? Right? In the to make it more clearer, you see in the Vivekacharamani this verse, famous verse, Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bhodha Svabhava Sadasadi Ashesham Bhasayan Nirvishesha Vilasati Paramatma Jagradadi Shavastha Soham Ahamidi Sakshal Atma Sakshal Sakshi Rubena Buddhe. This is a very important verse in the Vivekacharamani. He is saying here that Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bhodha Svabhavam Sadasad Idam Ashesham Bhavayan Nirvishesham Vilasadi Paramatma Jagradadi Shavastha Soham Aham Idi Sakshal Sakshi Rubena Buddhe. Sakshi Rubena Buddhe. What he is saying is that the this Vivekacharamani is an amazing book on the knowledge of the self. Yeah? If you want to understand Antaryami, Maya, and similarly liberation, there is no other book compared to this, Vivekacharamani. Fantastic it is. And here, you will see, and more or less like they say that it is Ajari Swamiji Samadhi Bhasha, it is, right? Srimad Bhagavatam is also Samadhi Bhasha. Right, Vallabhacharya gave that name to Bhagavatam as Samadhi Bhasha. Right, so the reason is that Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, and Madhvacharya, they call it as Prasthana Trayam, means Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads. Right, when Vallabhacharya Swamiji came much later after all of them, Vallabhacharya Swamiji included Srimad Bhagavatam also into it, and he started calling it as Prasthana Chatushtayam, 4. Prasthana Trayam means Brahma Sutram, Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, major 10 Upanishads. Shankaracharya, Ramanuja, and Madhva, they took all these three important, and their commentaries they wrote on that, they propagated on that basis. Yeah? Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, and Dvaitam comes like that. Later on, Vallabhacharya comes, and Vallabhacharya's philosophically, he was very much attracted to Bhagavatam also, so he included Bhagavatam also into this three, and called it as Prasthana Chatushtayam. Instead of Prasthana Trayam, it was called Prasthana Chatushtayam. And he says there, what are all the pramanam, what are all the documents, or I can say authority, in other words. One, he says, Veda Vakyani, Veda Vakyam, which is Upanishads. Then Krishnasya Vakyani, Krishna's words, which is Bhagavad Gita. Then Vyasasya Putrani, Veda Vyasa Maharshi's compilation. That is this Srimad Bhagavatam, right? Samadhi Bhashasya. So Samadhi Bhasha is Srimad Bhagavatam. Similarly, in the same way, this Viveka Chudamani also is Samadhi Bhasha. Everything, if you read it, you cannot believe that this is coming from an ordinary person. The way, if you see the depth of that Viveka Chudamani, you will see there mentioned like that, right? It's not a mundane language what is used there. All the verses are Shuddha Bhauta Subhava. He says there. Prakriti Vikriti Bhinnam Shuddha Bhauta Subhava. Pure consciousness. What does that mean? That where consciousness which is not interfered with the senses or with the mind, that thing, which is not interfered by mind or senses, aham ahamiti sakshal sadasadiham asesham bhashayam nirvishesham. Aham ahamiti jagradadishu avastashu. In other words, to understand this, right? For example, in your vacant state, sometimes you will get some dreams sometimes, in the vacant states also, right? And that means you are half awake and half dreaming state. Sometimes we are like that, isn't it? You're sitting there and thinking something and you go into some dream world. You're awake, but you're also partly in the dream world, in your imaginations, imaginative world, right? So, so most of the people are like that, half awake and half in the dream world, right? And the dream that comes at night when you go to sleep, right, we call it as dream. That we call it as dream. The dream when you are in the vacant state, what do you call it? That is what is called mental chariot, manoratham, the word for that. So difference between manoratham and swapnam is this. Swapnam is what you experience when you are sleeping in the dream. But same dream you are having in the vacant state, it is called manoratham, mental chariot. Yeah? Mental chariot. So somebody asked this question, that how do you control this dream in the night, what you experience in the dream? So he said that because those dreams are coming, because in the vacant state you are dreaming a lot. Because if you dream in the vacant state a lot, so many things we are dreaming whole day, are we not? Continuously it is going on inside. We are awake, but the dreaming is also going on side by side. And because it is like that, what happens is in the night a lot of dreams comes to us, right? So that nature is in us in Jagrat state, vacant state, and that is the same nature coming in the dream state also, in a different way, right? So, sopnam or dream, you are seeing several things, and you can see that in the, if you are in a dark room, in the sleep, in the dark room, you are seeing the dream and there is light inside in the dream. In the dream there is light, but the room is dark. Room is dark, right? And lot of things happens in that dream, which is amazing that you are experiencing all that, right? And and that dream world, what happens then, how it happens, why they came, we have no entry into that. We don't know. We have no clear idea about it, what that's happening, right? Yeah. But, so what we have done, because we have no access to that, Maya has not given us access to that dream state, what's going on inside us, right? Therefore, what happened to us is, we went into the world outside and started inquiring about the world. Whether the earth, planet earth is globe or it is flat, or how much is the distance from here to the sun and here to the moon, and is there any other planets in this world, and when this world is going to end. All these topics has become important for us. This is because of this. Maya has not allowed us to understand what's all happening inside us in the dream. Yeah, you are not able to make any success on that path, what's happening inside us. And because we cannot do anything there, we came out and started going into the world and started looking at the world seriously. That is the reason behind that. Why we got so much attracted to the world is because the inner world, we are not getting any entry there. What's going on? Because while sleeping, so many things happens inside. Why all these things are happening inside? Nobody has any clue about it. And so, sopnam, manoratham, two things. Sopnam in the dream in the night. Manoratham during the day in the vacant state. We have no entry into either of these things. It just happens in us. It's not. It just happens. We are sitting there and thoughts are coming. Where is it coming? No idea. We go into sleep, dreams are coming. Where is it coming? No idea. All these things we have no access. So what happened? Where we have got access, we started inquiring about it. And that is the world outside. That's how we fall into this trap now. Maya's control, we are saying this. Maya is saying, the world, there is plenty to inquire. You go and inquire there, whatever you have to inquire. So we became very serious. How much is the distance from here to the sun? Distance from here to the moon? Distance from here to what is the size, diameter of this planet? All this has become very important for us. Even though we know we won't be here for that long. I don't need all this information to live in this world, do I? Do I need to know how much is the distance from here to the sun or from here to the moon? For me to live in this world, I don't need all that. But my interest is in all these things. This is because of this problem, right? So, and then they are saying that some people, they thought that can we create a world like this, another world? And then they are looking for a research in that direction. That is how this Hadron Collider, which they have in Switzerland, where they are doing that research work. If they can create by breaking up the atom and then colliding the molecules and all sorts of things, what they are talking about, right? Because the important thing is, there is much more to know what is happening inside this, right? And like this, we are seeing the dreams, and we seeing the dream in the light, even though the room is dark, right? And then this Jagrat, vacant state, where I am there, the mind is there, and I am doing different transactions, vyavaharam there, I don't have any idea about all these things, right? If you give up all these things, even the dream state itself is an amazing thing. What happens to all of us, right? So imagine this. For example, suppose I go home and sleep now. It is likely that in my dream, all of you may come. This whole room with all the people here will come in my dream. And none of you are present there, but you are all there in my dream, right? So I am able to create all of you in my dream, exactly the way you are sitting now and the way you are looking, all these things I can see in my dream, right? So, and what? Not only that, in my dream I will see me speaking and you listening, and I will be seeing that. Is it not? You know, dream state, it is so important. There's a book, Vedam. Paramacharya's book it is, yeah? He talks about the dream state, why Krishna has given this dream state to us. But modern science is not interested in all that thing. So, and in that dream state, I can see everything what is happening, the whole room, with I'm speaking, you're listening, and I can see that myself, right? And in full of light also, able to see that, right? So where did that light come from in that dream state, right? And if I'm sleeping with my eyes closed, in order to see the dream, I don't need glasses to see the glass. How am I seeing that then? How am I seeing that, right? So what it is saying to us is that this eyes outside, which I am seeing now, it's a subtle form, is in the mind. This is the growth side of my vision. Vision is a power, Devata, present inside, Adhishtatra Devata. This is all big topic in the Vedantam. These are all big topics, right? That I am seeing something, the power to see, where is that coming from? Modern science will say it is the eyes. Everything, you change the glasses, and when everything fails, you take it out, that's all. No, that's not how it is. That's what I'm saying, this body, to understand this body is very difficult. Upanishads are saying, Bhagavatam is also saying, that the Adhishtatra Devata inside, he is the one actually allowing you to see. If he allows you to see, you can see. Yeah, eye is only an instrument. Mind is only an instrument for that, right? But mind actually carries all the senses in its subtle form inside the mind, right? Therefore, all the five senses, sound, touch, smell, taste and form, all of them in its subtle form is present in the mind. Present in the mind. So, that is the reason that in the dream state, even though your gross senses are not working, all the activities are carried out in the dream state. You can hear, you can see, you can touch, you can taste. Everything is possible in the dream state. That is because of this reason that external senses, its subtle form is present in the mind. Present in the mind, right? So, you are able to do that in dream state within yourself. You don't need the senses. Only the mind is sufficient. In other words, mind, the senses are inside the mind. Senses are inside the mind. So, if mind decides, I don't want any one particular sense, right? If mind decides that I don't want a particular sense, after a long time, what will happen is that sense in the mind will become weaker and weaker, and therefore that is what the rishis are saying. This is important point. You know why? Because this organ donation, nowadays we do, is it not? Again, the same problem. We are trying to fix the problem by organ donation. Oh, you're very magnanimous. You're very giving your donation of your organs after death and all that. This also, already they have discussed all these things. Rishis knew that. So they are saying to us that if the mind decides that if I don't want a sense anymore, then after some time that sense will leave you once for all, permanently. It will go from you, right? So that is why you should never say, I don't want the senses, right? And there is a famous prayer in the Vedam, very famous prayer it is, in the Upanishads. Bedram bedram karnebhi shruniyama devaha. That referring to different senses, yeah? In the Mundaka Upanishad, it's a mantra, famous mantra, it starts like that. Bedram karnebhi shruniyama devaha. Right? What is saying that everything what I see with these eyes, I should see your presence in everything. Glorifying Krishna that you should be present, your presence in everything, I should notice it with the eye. So rishis are saying, if you use the senses to recognize Krishna's presence in everything, then that senses won't suffer. Similarly with the ear also, all other senses, they should become for recognizing Krishna's presence in this world. Yeah. So all the lifespan what we have got in this world, right? Let that be used for developing Krishna consciousness or self-realization. And for that purpose, all these senses, let them give the full support for that. In that way, that prayer goes. Bhadram karnebhi shruniyama devaha. Like that. Yeah. So, suppose, but you have to have that desire, to have that senses for that. Suppose with your mind you have decided, I don't want any of these things, they will leave you once for all, right? So, this mantra in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is for the ordinary people to understand its importance, right? Suppose you say, I don't want the eyes anymore, then eyes will leave you once for all. Therefore, after death, right, somebody takes your eyes from you and gives it to them, there's nothing wrong. That's okay. Nothing is going to happen to you. But, you know, it's called netradanam, isn't it? Giving the eyes in donation to others, right? So, after you die, and somebody has taken the eyes from your body and given it to someone, that's fine, right? What does Shastram says about this? That's the important thing. After our departure, after we left this body and gone, if somebody has taken the eye and given it to someone, and there is no harm in that, it doesn't cause any problems. But you make your own decision to give your eye to somebody, right? And saying that, after my time, I don't need this eye anymore, and you should not make that decision. Because you have not understood what the eye is actually. Eye is present as a part of the mind. And these senses are powerful because of the presence of the devatas present inside us. Adhishtatra Devata, right? So you are saying to Adhishtatra Devata, I don't want you anymore with me. You can go. Then that devata feels offended. He doesn't want to be back again. That is why some people are born blind. Because of this. They have offended the devata inside, Adhishtata Devata, and that's why they are born blind, or born deaf, or born dumb. Things like that happens because of this. Adhishtata Devata has been offended, and because of that. Through your own decisions, that you don't want a particular sense, and if you felt a fed up with that sense, it's not, you want to become away from him, and you give up that connection with that sense through your sangalpam, then after some time, that senses will leave your mind once for all, right? So, that is the important thing to understand. How do we see this? You know, in the nowadays, everywhere, this is the nature, isn't it? Like, relief operations, this is also another big thing. Organ donation, is it not? There's a whole thing about it. Even we can see festivals and all that, they come. Organ donation, people are there. You need to sign up for things like that. Yeah, it's not proper understanding, it's not there. It's all on a very gross level, things are done, right? So, Sopnam, when Sopnam happens, who is the one who is seeing the Sopnam? The ego in me, or Ahangaram in me, which is present in the Jagrat, that Ahangaram is not there in the Sopnam. In the Sopnam, he is not there. For example, I will do many things in the Sopnam, what I normally may not do in the vacant state, right? Sometimes I will do certain things opposite the way I may do in the vacant state, right? And many things I have seen, I will repeat it. And many things I have not seen, also I may repeat it, right? So, who is this person who is seeing the dream? So, when you are seeing the dream, who is that? He is referred to as Taijasan. He is the one, Taijasan. Remember, Andaryami is three positions. Vishwam, Taijasan, Prajna. Vishwan is the one who is in the vacant state. Very difficult to know him. He is in the controlling everything, right? So, so Upanishad called him as Taijasan, right? Now, the third state, which is neither Jagrat nor Sopnam, right? Sleep, deep sleep, right? Why I am saying all these things? With all this background, you have to enter into this chapter, this next chapter. This is all the background for the next chapter, the 14th chapter, Gunatraya Bhagavatam. right? Sushupti, that deep sleep state, is a special situation, is it not? Right? You are sleeping, and if you understand that state properly, you will see that. Suppose you wake up, for example, you wake up at 6 o'clock in the morning, but something happened at night, say about 2 o'clock, some noise you heard, and you woke up, right? And you were in deep sleep, you woke up because of the noise you heard, right? And you looked at the watch, the noise happened, something happened, and you ignored it. And then you looked at the watch, it's only 2 o'clock, yeah? You've got still 4 hours to go. Right. At that time, how do you feel inside? A tremendous happiness you feel. Is it not? There is still 4 hours left. Don't you feel that? That's how I feel. I don't know about you. I can only say this much, that when I woke up and looked at the clock and I saw it's only 2 o'clock, and my time I have to wake up is at 6, so I still have got 4 hours, right? So, and this happiness, everybody gets it. Whether you are a materialist, you are a devotee, or you are a wealthy person, or you are a poor person, no matter what happens in the vacant state, Jagrat state, right? And whatever struggle you have in the vacant state, with material life, family life and all that, right? And troubles you have, at least that 4 hours gives you a certain happiness. I don't know where it's coming from. That 4 hours is still left, right? And if you are, most of the people in that state, what they will do is, I want to go back to that state where I came from. I was in deep sleep when I woke up. But my immediate reaction is, I want to go back to that, not to the world. Why? You have to ask that question, why, right? So, on the other hand, I don't have any desire about doing anything in this world, seeing anyone, or any other planned projects, nothing. My immediate response will be to go back to that state where I came from, right? And especially when you are coming from Sushupti, if you are coming from Sushupti, right? Suppose you have woken up from a very bad dream, you woke up from that, right? It will be a different situation, is it not? Suppose you have woken up from a bad dream, you woke up, it will be totally different, right? So if you have come out from Sushupti, you will like to go back. If you come from a heavy dream, you want to wake up. You see all the changes, what is inside us, right? And if you know that there is 4 hours still left, without thinking further, no consultation, immediately pull the quilt over and go back to sleep again. That's the immediate response, right? So, because you don't even want to think at that time, because if you start thinking, you may wake up. You don't want to wake up. You heard the sound, you want to sleep back again. I don't want to lose my sleep. So you won't want to know anything. You don't want to think. Before that, you want to get back to sleep again. Right? Even thinking becomes painful at that time. So that experience Krishna has given in the deep sleep state, our question is like this. What is our knowledge about it? That experience, what we got, right? Why do you show so much interest to go back to that state when you wake up like that? Why do we have a special attraction to go back to that state, right? What did I get in that state for that, right? On the other hand, if you really look at it, actually you're losing everything in that state, yeah? You lost the world. World has gone from you. The body has gone from you. And our so-called personality development, all that is gone from you, right? Personality itself has gone. Ahankaram has gone, isn't it? The personality has gone. And there you are not a man or a woman. You are not a Brahmana or a Kshatriya or a Vaishya or a Shudra. Oh, Varnashrama Dharma. Nothing there. but you wanted to go back there. None of these things, what is in the waking state is not there, or in the dream state, right? So everything what you get in your waking state, what you have, possess, or whatever it is, right, you were willing to give up to go back to that state. Yeah? And you have given up yourself. Ahankara. That's also gone, right? So, and you are not experiencing anything there, but you say later on that I was happy when you wake up, right? So, this statement from coming from you when you wake up is is a statement which is a declaration from the people who come out of the deep sleep state, right? Every person who has gone into deep sleep and who has come back from that, he will say that, I was happy. Nobody has said, I was in distress in the deep sleep. Have you heard anyone saying that? Who had deep sleep, sushupti, and who woke up and said, I was in tremendous distress. Up to this point in this world, not one person has said that. Every one of a person, everyone in this world who had a deep sleep and gone to deep sleep, when they woke up, the only one comment about the deep sleep was, I had a good time. I feel refreshed altogether. I feel happy in every way. All these things, right? So, in the vacant state, you have happiness and distress. Sukham, dukham, both are there. In sopnam also, sukham, dukham, both are there. Right? And sometimes you get a good dream, sometimes you get a bad dream. Right? In sushupti, distress has no entrance. Distress has no entrance. So, jagrat and sopnam, dukham or distress, is over with the jagrat and sopnam, waking state and the dream state. Yeah? And when you move into the third state, sushupti, all what you have got is the astitvam, that is our existence, that sushupti state, yeah, where you alone exist. In other words, body is not there, mind is not there, intelligence is not there, senses are not there, ego is not there, world is not there, only you are there. That's the beauty of the sushupti. So when you enter into sushupti, you are alone there, right? And that is your astitvam, what they call it, existence, right? And when you are on your own, there is no dukkham, there is no distress, there is only happiness. And that is why Krishna is saying, your real nature is happiness, anandam, satta, chitta, anandam. Anandam and chitta and satta, they are together. And anandam is our real happiness, real identity, not distress, right? So, and that sukham, what you got in that deep sleep state, you cannot compare that with the happiness in the world outside, right? And to know that, you have to compare both the sukham of that deep sleep and the sukham of the happy in the vacant state, right? Otherwise, you won't understand. You will say, or you will just reject that. Oh, it's all sleep only, and you will ignore it. But the happiness that comes from that deep sleep state, what we are experiencing, then, if you compare that with our existence in the vacant state, then you will know the difference between the two. The happiness of the deep sleep and the happiness of the vacant state, right? So, Upanishad is saying to us, or Vedam says to us, that you are there as in your real self, as Antaryami, the Antaryami, right? Or Brahmam. So, if it is like that, why is that when we go into that state, we are not self-realized then? If I am getting that realization, that I am in my pure state as Antaryami, in the deep sleep state, then I should be self-realized then, right? No, that won't happen, because realization can only come through knowledge, proper knowledge. That is the way to get there, through the knowledge, right? And for some time you stayed as Brahman, doesn't mean that you will become Brahman. You have to realize Brahman through self-realization process, Jnana Margam or Bhakti Margam, whichever way it is. That's the only way you can get there. Not that you have become Brahman in the deep sleep state, you won't stay in that state forever. Right? So, why it is said like that? Because even now you are Brahman. You are not body. You are still Brahman, but we are not experiencing it. In the same way, in Sushupti you are experiencing you are Brahman, but you are not able to get it back. Right? And Sushupti you are getting it, and you have not lost it even now. But on top of that, something has come and covered Brahman, that Brahman nature in us, and that is called Avaranam. That's called Avaranam. So that Avaranam, even though you may experience Brahman, but if Avaranam has not gone, you may experience Brahman, but if Avaranam has not gone, you will not get it permanently. That's the reason behind it. I don't know whether you are with me, what I'm saying here. Yeah? That Avaranam, if it doesn't leave us, that even though you may have experienced Brahman in the Sushupti, you cannot stay there. You will be thrown out from that. So till your attention, Shraddha, falls on to this experience of the deep sleep of Brahman, and through your vicharam or thoughts and analysis, unless you give your complete, seriously, you do the mananam on that and take shelter of that, it won't become yours. That means that state what you got in the deep sleep, you have to do the work to get it in the vacant state. In the vacant state, right? And that is what's called liberation, mukti. Mukti, right? So, mukti, when you get that state in the vacant state, it becomes yours then. It's not that mukti you have to get it from elsewhere, because Antaryami is inside. But that realization you have to get it, right? So, actually, in our pure state, we are liberated. We are not bound by anything, right? And nobody is tying us, tied us also, right? So, that's what... it's important, we'll come to that little bit more detail later, after the break. Chedo darpanam arjanam bahumahadavadminuvavanam Shreyakaitavachandriya vidaranam vidhyavadhu jivanam Anandambudivardhanam pradipada purnamradaswadhanam Sarvatna subanambaram vijayate Shri Krishna Sankirtanam Namnamakari bahudanija sarvashakti Tatrapidanimida smarnena kala Edadushitava krabha bhagavan mamavi Turdeva medrashamiha chaninanuragaha Tranaravishuni chena Tarorabhi sahishnuna Amanina manadena Kirtaniya sadahari Nathanam na janam na sundarim Kavidamba jagadisha kamaye Mama janmani janmani Ishwari bhavadal bhakti rahai Tugitvai Ayi nanda danuja kinkaram padidamam shame bhavambudo kubayadava padamanga jastida doli sadrasham chindaya nayinam galada shodaya vadinam gadgada ruddhaya gira pulagar nikidam dadava bhutam namagrahane bhavishyati yuga idam nimishayam pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name Ashlishava padaradam pinashtoma adarshanam marmahadam karotuva yathatadava vidadadulam madu malprananathastunevanaphaya sarvatra govinda nama sankirtanam govinda govinda. In different places in Bhagavatam, Krishna will use different words. Like sometimes you will say ahankaram, sometimes you will say svabhavam. And it is the same thing what we call as amanitvam. Manam, in other words. Manam is this ahankaram only. And that's what the first two things Krishna said in the last chapter, amanitvam, adambitvam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also said the same thing. Amanina manadena. So you can see here, words may be different, but they are all referring to that same ahankaram. Ahankaram's different forms are all these. Manam, dambham. These are all ahankaram's different forms it is. Or swabhavam it is in a person. Yeah. So mukti we are talking about, Krishna said that mukti is not going to get somewhere later. What happens is that you become, our surubham is mukti. Actually, andaryami is never in bondage. Andaryami is always in liberated state. Yeah. And nobody is bound andaryami. That's also wrong thing to think that we are in bondage, like we say. You see that? That sometimes we say, oh, I am in a bondage, I have to get liberated. That statement is also wrong. I am never in bondage. What is in bondage is this ahankaram is in bondage. My real me, andaryami, is not in bondage. Yeah. So andaryami is not affected by anything. And therefore, mukti also, this is why Krishna said, gunasya maya mulatval name moksha na bandhanam. He mentioned in the Ekadasham. Bandho mukta idi vyakya gunato me na vastuda, he says. Na vastuda, it's not real. Sometimes it's difficult. You have to connect Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam together to understand what Krishna is saying. Most of us don't really understand what Krishna is saying. And we are going on with thinking that we are following Bhagavad Gita, we are following Bhagavatam, without knowing what exactly Krishna is saying. He says that it is not in your surupam. Bondage is not there. Liberation is also not there. You are always in a liberated state. But because of this ahankaram, we feel we are bound. Ahankaram means this identification with the body. And that is what's causing the bondage, right? They give this example that, I think I mentioned this story before also. You know, this washerman, they take the clothes on top of a donkey. So all the clothes tied on one side, there will be heavy load, another side there will be heavy load. And the donkey will go, whatever he says, he will do it. And donkey gets his grass everywhere free. And the one man doesn't have to maintain the donkey. It will get its grass and its satisfied. But it thinks that washerman is giving the food. It feels that illusion in its head. Right? So once this washerman was taking four donkeys together, and suddenly he felt that he wanted to pass urine somewhere. On his long way, he has to walk to the river. Right? So on the way, there was an ashram there, and there was a Swamiji living in that ashram. Right? So he goes there with all the four donkeys and says to the Swamiji, Swamiji, I have to tie these donkeys somewhere because I have to go and pass urine and they may go different places. So I'll have to tie them all to some place somewhere on a post or tree or something like that. Have you got some rope for me to tie them? So Swami looked in his ashram. He had some rope which he gave it to him. It was not enough. He had four donkeys. Three of them he tied with the rope. But for the fourth one, he didn't have a rope for that. Right? So, the Swami told him, don't worry about it. You just show the donkey that you are tying it with a rope, like you are done with the other three. Then it will stay there, he said, like that. So, so he did that. He showed the fourth donkey, which he didn't have a rope, but he showed it that he is tying that rope on that donkey to the tree. And the donkey stood there. Right? And then he went and passed his urine and he's come back. And then he untied all the three ropes of the three donkeys. And then they started walking again. But the fourth one is not moving. Fourth one is not moving. So he went back to the Swamiji and says that he is not moving, he says. Don't worry about that. He just show the donkey that you're untying the rope. That's enough. Then it will start moving again, he said. So he went and did that. And the donkey started walking again with the other three donkeys together, right? So, the donkey is thinking that he is bound. Therefore, you have to do that it is to be unbound. You have to be show to that donkey that you have taken it out. Similarly, this is how we are connected with this body. This is how it is. The reality is like this, right? We are thinking that this body is mine, mind is mine, senses are mine, and I am bound by this, and that is my material existence. And I am convinced on that, and in that bondage state I am living in this world. Krishna's point is that in your swarupam there is no bondage. In your swarupam there is no bondage. And on a daily basis, Krishna is showing this to us in Sushupti. Understand? There is no bondage in us. That means we are not bound by the body or the mind or the senses. And that is not in our swarupam. And that the proof of that is what Krishna is showing to us in Sushupti. In Sushupti, right? So, in Sushupti state, any great personality in this world, or any good person or a bad person, they are all the same. In the Sushupti, they are all same, right? So, a person's greatness and another person's wickedness, they are all in the Prakriti only, right? Not in the Swarupam. It's all in the Swabhavam only, right? And that is what Upanishad is saying. Mata amata bhavati. A mother feels strongly in the vacant state as mother. In the deep sleep, she is not a mother. A father in the vacant state feels he is a father, but that feeling goes away in the deep sleep, in Sushupti, right? And a thief who is thieving things is not a thief in the deep sleep, in the Sushupti state, right? All these things goes away in the deep sleep. Mata amata bhavati, pita apita bhavati. And like that, all, they are not real, they are all in the, based on the body. And therefore, once you have slept, then say sleep is the greatest leveler, they say about it, right? Everyone is the same then. Once you have gone into deep sleep, we are all equal. We are all not different at all, right? And when we go inward, that ahankaram goes and dissolves at that time. And when that happens, you feel that happiness. That ahankaram which we talked about, chijjada grandhi, between the jadam and the chaitanyam, that link in between, between the chit and the jadam. That grandhi, grandhi is the link. That is the problem. And that ahankaram, when it completely leaves us, that is that sarvadharman parityaja stage. Mamekam sharanam raja. That means ahankaram completely has gone from inside. So in order this to happen, that I am not this body, and also we are to realize that who we are, Atma, that right, it requires a certain effort from our side to study Bhagavad Gita seriously, right? And that is why, you remember so many verses in the Bhagavad Gita requires a very deeper level investigations or deeper mananam on that. That particularly those verses I mentioned. Nadate kasijit papam na chaiva sukrutam vibhu ajnane navratam jnanam tena mukhyanti jantava and na kartrutvam na karmani logasya srajati prabhu na karma phala samyogam svabhavastu pravartate. All these verses are real nectar it is. After all, Vedavyasa Maharshi gave Bhagavad Gita to us. Is he not? And the rishis' realizations this is, that this is how it is, right? So it is for this purpose, this salsangam, shravanam, mananam, all these things, it is for this purpose, right? We said that in Sushupti we have this experience, right? And everybody has that experience, right? And at least some people have thought about it, why this Sushupti state is like that. Before, this Jagrat Sapnam Sushupti is not even spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. That's more interesting. It's discussed in the Bhagavatam. It's discussed in the Upanishads. So, the thing is this, that rishis were able to analyze these three states very well. And they have spoken in different ways at different places. And in the normal world, if you look, nobody is interested to analyze Sushupti. You see, not they all say, I had a good sleep and that's it. End of the chapter, right? And we have never thought about that. Such a great treasure is inside us. And we are sitting on top of that treasure called Antaryami inside. And then we are living in this world looking for happiness. This is our present state, right? You remember there's a story about this, I think I said this before also, that a beggar is sitting there on top of a box in front of a temple or a church or wherever it is. Everyone who comes that way gives him money and he puts it inside the box. His father was sitting on the same box and doing the begging. He was also putting the money in the same box. And his grandfather also did the same thing. So the money has gone into the box and the box has been getting filled with a lot of cash inside. But this man who is sitting on top of the box is not aware that all his parents, father, grandfather has put money into that same box. And they didn't take it, they also died and gone. And the money is still lying there. And this beggar is not aware of all that. He is still begging for money, even though there is so much cash with him. So someone who came on that road, we are like that. We are like that. The greatest asset, wealth, is inside us, Antaryami. And we completely ignored him. And we are looking for happiness in this world through this body, mind and senses. This is our situation, right? So, what is Krishna's point is that solution to all our distress in this world, there is a solution. And that solution is our Swarupam inside, Antaryami, right? And once you realize who you are, then all the other problems related to the body, mind, the senses, everything, all that things will go. It will have no relevance anymore once you realize who you are. Till then, you will be completely controlled like this beggar sitting on the box and begging. We will be doing the same thing here. This is how Krishna sees. That is why he is saying those verses. That self-realization is the answer if you want a permanent solution to the problem. There is no other solution. That is the only solution for all the problems. If you want to permanently solve the problem. So, having said that, you know, when the Christians preach, they will say like this, that your heaven is inside. There is a statement like that. In Kerala, we have priests who speak on the streets. I've heard this many times. They'll keep saying this and everybody's saying, yeah. But they have not understood. Actually, Jesus has taken that from the Upanishads, right? That the heaven is inside you. He makes a statement like that, yeah? And I don't know what meaning people who are listening to it. A lot of people listen all these things, but they are not able to properly connect with that statement, you know, why the way he spoke like that. And whereas Vedam is saying repeatedly that this empire inside us of self-realization, right, there you are free totally, right? Nobody has bound you there, right? Pious activity, sinful activity, those things have nothing to do with him, with the Antaryami inside, right? Similarly, all the problems of the body, it does not affect Antaryami. It does not affect Antaryami. But only thing is, you have the benefit only when you realize who you are. As long as you are identifying with the body and with the ahankaram, if you live, nothing can happen, nothing will happen, right? When you have that ahankaram inside and you are identifying with the body, all these things will be there. Which one? Pious activity, sinful activity. Similarly, transmigration of the soul, all these things will happen. And that time you will go more into darkness, right? That is why Upanishad is saying like this, that one we quoted from third mantra from the Upanishad. The third mantra, Upanishad. What is Ishopanishad, right? What he said there, that Asurya Namate Loka Andhena Tamasavruta Tamaste Prethyabhigachandi Eke Jatmahano Janaha. If you analyze those words, you can understand straight away. Upanishad is saying that the one who understands this but who does not put any effort for self-realization, he will go into more darkness than the one who does not know about it. In a normal way, he will go to darkness. But the one, he says here, due to avidya, avidya means ordinary people who does not know anything about spiritual life, they will go into darkness. He's saying that. They will go into darkness. Asurya te namate loka andhena tamasavrata. Due to tamas, that is the antatva, the darkness. They will go to asurya slokas. Asurya namate loka. He will go into such places, right? But those who have known this, but they have no faith in that, they don't believe in that, they will go into much more deeper darkness. Much more deeper darkness, he's saying here, right? Because the reason is, this knowledge is for realization, yeah? Then, because it's a knowledge about us, who we are, right? And we already have it, that experience. And the anubhavam or experiences has to happen. And therefore, if you don't try for that to realize yourself, then you will not get any benefit from that. That is what Upanishad is saying. I don't know whether you understood that verse. Asurya namate loka, loka andhena tamasa vrida, tamste prathya abhigachandi ye che chatmihano janaha. That the faithless ones, normal people, they go enter into the planets known as the worlds of the faithless, full of darkness and ignorance. In other words, you heard this, but you have no faith in that. Yeah, you will go more into darkness than those who had never heard about it, but those who fall into hell. Those go into hell, right? Yeah. So, what that verse is indicating is that this verse, if you don't realize it, it's useless. Just keeping it as a knowledge base, you know, in your intelligence and all that. Yeah. They say that, like you search for the glasses, it is on your nose here, and you are looking for the glass somewhere. Sometimes older people do that. They'll be looking for the glass elsewhere, right? Similarly, we already have Andaryami inside, but I'm not giving any attention to it. And permanently what is present inside, I am not bothered. I'm not taking notice of that. And that ahamasmi, aham, 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 that awareness inside bodham, that is permanently inside us, that we are not giving any attention. Krishna has spoken that, isn't it, in Bhagavad Gita as well as in the Bhagavatam, aham eva sam eva agre, that aham, aham is the most important thing, right? Yeah. So, so this aham you will find in all the mantras also, where it comes. There is, while bathing normally in the tanks or in the rivers, they are supposed to recite this Akamarshanam. There is a mantram they recite at that time. The Brahmanas recite Akamarshana mantram. And offering respects to Varuna and other devadas while bathing. Yeah. So, and there it says, Adram Jedi Jyodi Ahamasmi. Aham Eva Ahamasmi. So, Agni, or the heat, which has got very powerful effulgence, right? And there is that fire is burning inside us. And in the form of this Aham, which is present in everyone, right? So, it is this Aham, which is Antaryami, nothing but Antaryami. Its different names is Shiva, Vishnu and all that. They are all different names for this Antaryami inside. Yeah? And so if we, and that is my Swarupam. So if you really want to realize Krishna, you have to know him like that as Antaryami inside. Whether it is Shiva or it's Vishnu or whatever it may be. So, because if you see the form outside, any form, Krishna's form or Vishnu's form, Shiva's form, whatever it may be, you can see the form, after some time the form will go. Form won't stay permanently, right? So, suppose you saw Krishna in your mind. That Krishna is there only as long as you have the mind. Once the mind gone, that also goes away, right? And suppose in your mind some other thought came strongly, then Krishna will disappear from the thoughts, right? Or if you're gone to deep sleep, Krishna is gone. So even in Sushupti state, in the deep sleep state also, if you want to experience Krishna, then it can only be done as Antaryami, Swarupam. Only as the Swarupam, right? So that is the reason in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Pipalayana Maharshi spoke about that, you see how he puts it. In the third chapter, 11.3.36, Stiti Ulbhava Pipalayana Vacha, Stityulbhava Pralaya Hetura Heturasya, Yal Sopna Jagara Sushuptishu Salbahischa, Dehendriya Sukhadayana Charandiyena Sanjeevidani Tadavehi Param Narendra. Then he says, Naidanmano Vishadi Vaguda Chakshuratma Pranindriyani Jayadana Marchishaswa Shabdhobi Bhodagan Shetadayatma Moolam Artoptamaha Yadradeta Nisheta Siddhi Alpa Jajana Namarishri Naitadesau Nakshiyade Savanavidya Vijayinam hi Sarvatra Shashwad Anava Ubalabdhi Matram Prano Ed Indriya Balena Vigalpidam Sal. So then Yarhi Abjana Bacharaneshana Yoru Bhaktya Cheto Malani Vivide Pidamed Gunakarma Jani Tasmin Vishuddham Ubalabhyadam Atma Tatvam Sashadyado Amaladusho Savitra Prakashaha. So you can see in those verses, Pipalayana Maharshi is saying, we have discussed those verses before, that not touched by the senses, not touched by the mind, not touched by the words, not touched by Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti, one who is a witness to all these things is Narayana. Because the King Janaka asked that question, who is Narayana? It is answered that Pipalayana Maharshi mentioned those verses. So there he has said this, that the senses, the mind, the words don't touch him, cannot touch him. Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti cannot touch him, right? But he is witness to all these things, what mind, body, senses are doing, what Jagrat Sopnam Sushupti is going. He is a witness to everything, right? And that's Narayana. So, but that vastu is in our experience all the time, that I am existing, aham, 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 that awareness. And that is our Swarupam, and nobody can deny that. Nobody can deny that, because it is in all of us all the time. Our existence, awareness, bodham, right? So, if you give serious attention, you can see that that alone is the real thing. Body is not real. As you know very well, that the body goes away as soon as you go into dream state. The mind goes away as you go into deep sleep. But this bodham is there all the time, bodham. Right. And body you can leave it as soon as you leave the gross body from the vacant state, right? So sometimes some thoughts comes and other thoughts goes away from inside. Two thoughts simultaneously don't work. One thought comes and then that thought causes another thought comes in, right? Yeah. You observe that all the time, is it not? But behind every thought, Antaryami is present, right? And between the thoughts also he is present, as Bhagavatam said that in the 7th canto, 13th chapter, yeah? Yeah, between the two thoughts also he is present. Supta prabhodayo sandhat. 7:13:5. Supta prabhodayo sandhat. Atmano gadi atmadrakka. Pashyan bandham ja mokshan ja. Maya matramna vastuda. That was. That sandhi. Supta prabhodayo sandhat. Sandhi means that junction between the two states. Yeah. Supta prabhodayo sandhat gadi atmadrakka. So, unfortunately, our attention has not fallen on that. And that's all. When your attention becomes on that, seriously on that, and when your attention falls on that seriously, that's what is called mananam, nididhyasanam, and similarly samadhi and dhyanam and all that, is referring to that. That when your attention falls on that Antaryami inside, right? So see, for example, in meditation, they will meditate on, sometimes they say, we have seen a light, or we have seen a form, rubam, dhyanam, and all that, right? But what Shastram says is, ultimately, you have to meditate upon the person who is meditating. One who is performing the meditation, right? So, that's why when they ask this question, how to meditate, they say, you meditate on the meditator who is doing the meditation, right? Or who wants to meditate. Meditate upon him, right? So, that's what the importance is, to go to Antaryami inside. As I mentioned this morning, that realizations are in different levels happens, right? Brahma idi paramatma idi bhagavan idi shabjade. Brahman realization Krishna has spoken about in one way. Brahma buddha prasannatma na shojati na kamshari. Brahma idi paramatma idi bhagavan idi shabjade. Brahman realization Krishna has spoken in that way. Brahma buddha prasannatma na shojati na kamshari. Antaryami realization, he spoke Ishvara sarvabhudanam hrideshe Arjuna dashtari. That the Antaryami realization. Bhagavan realization is spoke in another way. Atvandu Sarvam Paritejya. No. 1866 verse. Sarvabhagavan Paritejya. That is the Paramatma Bhagavan realization. Remember we spoke about this. Atma Sakshalkaram is Brahma Brahmasmi. Ishvara Sakshatkaram is Antaryami realization. And Bhagavan Sakshatkaram is Kripa Sakshatkaram is Sarvadharman Parityajya. You have to see the connection between all these things. then only you understand what Krishna is saying. Don't study it like a theory. It's not a theory. It is for come to understand that this is how it happens within us in realization state. And then you have to look at people who have realized it in different levels, in different ways. Parikshit realized Aham Brahmasmi. You saw that in the Bhagavadam. It doesn't mean that it is lower realization. It is Aham Brahmasmi, is proper realization. And obviously he will have the Antaryami realization as well. And obviously he will have the Kripa Sakshatkaram also. They all come together. But when it happens first time, it happens differently to different devotees or jnanis or yogis or whatever it is. After realization happens, whether you have realized through Antaryami, realized through Brahman, realized through Bhagavan, it is the same. The state is the same. You will be in the same state. Not is one higher than the other. But they will say like that, one is higher than the other to project their, the things behind it. So this aham, when you inquire about that, and what is the swarupam of this aham, and aham, and ahangaram, what is that ahangaram inside, and when you inquire about that, it is mentioned in many books. Atmopadesha Shatakam, there is mentioned about that. Harinama Girtanam talks about that. Jnanapana, all that. So, different people have expressed their realizations afterwards, after they have realized it, right? So, Narayana Guru, for example, he was a very famous sannyasi, right? He goes and sees Ramana Maharshi and all, but they never had any conversation between, not like us, how are you doing? All these things didn't happen there. They went there, he went there, he sat there, he saw Maharshi, looked at him. After some time, Maharshi went for a walk, he left the place. And then he writes about Maharshi later on his own way. Narayana Guru writes that, right? So what happens is that great personalities, they put their realizations in writing in some form and then they leave this world. Then what we do, ordinary people do, is they take this personality, their personal life, and they start worshipping him without reading what he has written in his writings. This always happens in this world. Mahatmas, you can see in our in Sishkan also, they will put everything in writing, their realizations, and then they will go this world. The followers who come after that, they won't read the writings, they will just worship him day and night without reading anything or understanding what he has given, what he has said to the world. You see, this happens. This you can't avoid. It has always been like that. That's the nature of this world. Yeah. So Jivan Mukta said, or Brahmanishtas, who are in that realization, right? It happens to about Acharya Swamiji also, same thing. Whatever he has written, it's all lying in the books. Not many people are reading it or thinking about it. But instead, they want to worship him and, Similarly, so if you look at the writings, only then you understand what they had to say to this world, what they all had to say to this world, right? So Narayana Guru says like this, that this aham, that is going on inside all the time, and that is the heartbeat, what we see. That aham inside of the Antaryami's presence is experienced through the heartbeat, the beating of the heart, right? But I don't think medical science won't accept that. They will think that this is a mechanism. For them, everything is a machine, isn't it? So, they'll see it as a machine. But why that heartbeat? It is for this purpose to recognize that Antaryami is present inside. Yeah. So, but this Antaryami, aham, Antaryami inside, different people have different forms they like in the world outside, right? Suppose somebody likes Vishnu. You'll say that the funny thing is that, so when he was a child, he liked Vishnu. And then when he grew up, he said, I like Shiva now. So he changed from Vishnu to Shiva. So that can happen. That can happen, right? And so even devadas in our life, they come and go. So sometimes some people say, I like to worship Devi. I don't want to worship Shiva or Vishnu, I'll worship Devi, like that. So this attraction for different forms can come and go. It need not stay permanently, right? So the thing, what I'm trying to say is this, that they are all manifestations of the same Antaryami inside. Atma Surupam they are, right? So in Jagrat state, suppose you want something and you like something, then it gives you some happiness. And they will call it as Modam. Modam means you're getting happiness from that, right? And when you get something, you feel some excitement from that, that's called Pramodam. Pramod, you know, famous names. Modam is the happiness what you get, and the excitement what you get from that is Pramod, right? So, and when you are able to give up something, like in the deep sleep state, and then you are getting a happiness from that, when you give up something, like it comes in the Sushupti, that's called Anandam. So these words have its own importance, right? Modam, Pramodam and all is based on our mundane life. Anandam is coming from giving up things, not from acquiring things. So, just like when normal life in that vacant state, right? When you got something from the world outside and then you feel satisfied inside, that is Modam, Pramodam, all that is a part of that. Whereas when you give up the mind itself, which is enjoying by receiving things from the world outside, when you give up that mind and we are remaining on your own without being affected by the mind, then it is Anandam, right? So, Upanishad says like this, that these are like the two wings of a bird and its head, these things, right? Priyam, Modam, Pramodam, Anandam, right? So if you compare it like with a bird, it is said that the head is Priyam, and others, one is Modam and Pramodam, and Hridayam, the heart, is Anandam. The two wings are Modam, Pramodam, heart is the Anandam, right? So basically Upanishads are pointing out to us that Anandam is our Swarupam. Our Swarupam is Anandam. Satya Chitta Anandam is our Swarupam, right? And without the help of anything from outside, able to stay happy and enjoy that happiness, Anandam, right? If that is possible, only if one has knowledge of the self. When one has the knowledge of the self, he will be able to remain happy in Anandam stage all the time, without the help of any external things. So if you know your Swarupam, that is why self-realization is important. Once you have self-realization, what happens is that you don't require any more from this world for your happiness. Anandam comes on its own. So one disciple asked the guru like this. He said that, how will I get rid of my different problems? He said, I've got a lot of problems, he said, that I get a lot of distress from others, and I get distress from home, from family, and then I got distress from my own body. So distress can come from different locations, isn't it? Different sources. And the problems with the mind, I don't know what I have to do with it, what I can do about it, right? Due to that, I have problems. And how will I get rid of all these things? He asked this disciple, asked the guru, right? So the guru says to him that these are not things which cannot be cured, but one thing you must realize, that the problems that's coming from the world will never come to an end. It will come one after the other, one thing or the other, will keep coming, right? Suppose if you insist that you want to be completely happy in the world outside, that's not going to happen. That's not possible also. Suppose if I desire that the whole world, people all should be happy, everyone should be friendly to each other, nobody has any envy, freedom, it's just a wish only. It is not going to happen. Then the world is going to become perfect and everybody is happy together. That's not going to happen, right? So, that situation didn't happen even when Ramchandra was here, when Krishna was here. It has not happened, even in their time, right? So, in other words, even for them, they didn't get that experience in this world when Krishna and Ramchandra was present here, right? Suppose you go and say to Krishna that my children are not listening to me. You know what Krishna will say to you? My children don't listen to me. And that's what they did they not?
Yeah.
Samba, Aniruddha, all of them, Pradyumna even, gone and done things. So if you go and say to Krishna, so sometimes parents feel that, isn't it? Children are not listening and they're going in the wrong way and things like that. So parents sometimes get tired of telling them they are not listening. So they feel frustrated so much. They go and say to Krishna that my children are not listening. And they beg to Krishna to help. Krishna laughs at you. And she says, my own children don't listen. So what am I supposed to do with your children then? When my own children don't listen to me. So that's how it is, right? So, and that is why at the end, Krishna said, let them beat up each other. And made them to beat up each other, kill them each other, and then he left. So that's how Krishna is, right? So think about this. What you have to look at this way also, not that everything is, this is how Puranams are written in that way, to think about it further, right? So it is impossible when you read that Mausalam, Nashakaushalam, when you read that, it's impossible to go to Krishna and say to him that my children are not listening. Because you know, Krishna will laugh at you. That means you have not understood my life, how I lived in this world, right? And Krishna has not feeling any distress about it because his children were not listening. He did what he could and then he left without trying to correct them or to fix them or anything. He didn't do it. He left it to them. Do what you like, go. That's all, right? Samana dukhaha, right? If you go and tell Ramchandra, I've got distress. You know what Ramchandra will say? Ramchandra will say like that, right? So in Ramayanam, Ramchandra cries about his distress when Siradevi was kidnapped by Ravana, right? And in one instance he says like this, that Kausalya Devi should not have another son like me, should not be born another son like me, because he feels that Kausalya Devi says like this, that she is suffering more because of Ramchandra going to the forest when that incident happened. When he decided to go to the forest and she was very much in distress. She was trying very hard to tell Ramchandra, is it necessary to go? That what is the necessity to go to forest? And she did really feel very bad about that, and she mentions that about her distress. So therefore Ramachandra says, I have given so much distress to my mother, Kausalya Devi, and therefore he is saying that another son like me should not be born for her, who has given so much distress to her, right? So, and you are going to Ramachandra and asking, telling him about your distress. So both Krishna and Ramachandra had a lot of distress in this world. It's not that they didn't have, they had to go through this, right? So you cannot solve any of your family problems or problems at home, what you have with anybody, by going to Krishna and Ramachandra, because they will say to you, look at our family life, what we had, what we went through, right? So, solving those problems, the solution is that you can temporarily solve problems, but permanent solution is that when Arjuna felt a distress in his life, right, Krishna gave him the knowledge of the self as the solution. The knowledge of the self as the solution. There is no other solution. That is the proper solution to the problem. Right? So, in other words, there is no solution outside, or your problem, if you have decided you want a solution to the problem, then you have to solve it inside. Outwardly, you cannot solve any problems, right? For example, in respect to the body, in the field of the body, right, it is not possible to be perfect with this body. We have to recognize it. It's not possible to be perfect with this body, right? And till today, nobody has succeeded in keeping this body perfect. It will go its own way, right? Same thing with the mind, yeah? If you try to control it, it won't come under control easily, right? And that is why Arjuna said that, Chanchalam hi mana krishna pramadi bhalaval dradam, right? So, you try to do some meditation, dhyanam, you will see there that after dhyanam, for some time it may be fresh, but then again it will go back into problems, right? So in the field of body, perfection is not possible. In the field of mind also, perfection is not possible, right? So so trying to fix them and trying to find happiness is impossible. So first you have to come to terms with all these things. That's why mananam is required. While studying Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, there are a lot of fundamental things where you have to accept first. Unless you are convinced, you can't accept it. You have to get convinced first. Therefore, mananam is required. What Krishna is saying is making sense or not. And then you have to accept what Krishna is saying in Swarupam. None of these things, problems, doesn't exist. Right? So, so you can see this. We are inquiring to be peaceful and happy, right? So before Parikshit Maharaj gave up his body, right? If you look into that chapter, in the fifth chapter is Brahmopadesham, right? If you look into the sixth chapter, what happened there? You will see there that the Ajnanam, the seventh verse, 12.6.7. Ajnanam cha nirastam me, jnana vijnana nishtaya, bhavada darshidam kshemam param bhagavata padam. Parishit is leaving the body. He has already realized the self in the last chapter, fifth chapter, right? Aham brahma param dhamma. All self-realization has happened to him. And then he is thanking him, who? Shukha Brahmarshi, before he leaves. And you know what he said? He's saying, Ajnanam cha nirastame, what you have done to me is, you have taken out the avidya from me. how you put me into jnana vijnana nishtaya, into knowledge. You establish me in the knowledge. And because of that, bhavada darshidam kshayamam. Now I am experiencing that proper happiness. Param bhagavata padam. That you have shown me the permanent state of happiness. Permanent state of happiness. Bhavada darshidam kshayamam. Why? Where is kshayamam? Kshayamam is in the antaryami, in the self. Right? And once you have realized that properly, then param bhagavata padam. You are established in the self. You are established in the self, right? Shanti comes, samadhanam comes, and that fulfillment comes. And it is that thing what Ishopanishad is saying, purnam. Purnamadam, purnamidam, purna, purnam, udachyade. It's all referring to that antaryami inside. What Parikshit has realized this here is the same thing what is spoken in the Ishopanishad as the first verse. Purnamadam, purnamidam, purna, purnam, udachare. Purnatva means perfection, completeness. And that is only present in the antaryami, nowhere else. When you realize that you are that antaryami, perfection comes to you. You feel perfect, fulfillment comes. Then you are not looking for anything else after that. Up to that time, we will be craving for something new all the time. We will keep on looking for happiness here, there, everywhere. Except when we get to that place. Yeah? Purnamidam, purnal, purnamudachyade, purnasyam, purnam, adaya, purnam, evavashishyade. Right? So, once you get there, then you are in that samadhi state, perfection. Right? And it is cannot be broken, an unbroken state that is. And while performing vyavaharam, even if you have to do vyavaharam, meditation and all that, Krishna says, even if you have to fight a war, in that state, you can fight. There is no harm. Right? That important thing is, that yoga state of self-realized state, bhangam should not come. It should not break up. You should not fall from that. Right? And that's what Krishna said, mamanismara yudhyaja. This mamanismara is what? Realizing that you are that antaryami inside. So with that, even if you have to fight a war, even if you have to fight a war, if you are able to maintain that state without any movement inside, that shanti inside, and that state, your natural state to be with as antaryami, Krishna has given the that state, what in that state, with antaryami, he has called it as Brahmistiti in the second chapter. That's what what is Brahmistiti. Yeah, Esham Brahmistiti Partha Devam Prapi Vimukhyari Sityasva Andagalevi Brahman Vanamrachari, he says. So it is that state when you have realized that, and that means you can do anything without being disturbed inside, because all the karmam is happening from the svabhavam, not from the surupam. That realization, right? So, Krishna gave that name to that, yeah? So, he mentioned there that situated in that Brahmi sthiti and able to conduct your vyavaharam and that expertise to do that. To be situated in the Brahmi sthiti and able to conduct the vyavaharam, and that you have to learn from the shastra. How it is done. How it happens like that. Yeah. So, in order to do that, this will all come now in the Bhagavad Gita. That process. How it is done. What happens to a person in Brahmi sthiti when he conducts vyavaharam. Yeah. So, in order to do that, whatever you hear from these Bhagavad Gita verses, many verses in future, it has to be properly reflection necessary. Mananam is important, right? And even while chanting the holy name, you can think these things. It's not forbidden. Analyzing what you hear from the Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavadam. Because it is a topic that is worthwhile going through, reflecting again and again. and understanding what Krishna is saying to us. And if you keep allowing your mind to ponder over those things, you will start realizing the importance of this Antaryami realization, what Krishna has spoken about it, right? Just like you are chanting the holy name, and you have to think that who is chanting actually? The Antaryami is making this happen through you. That's the way to look at it, right? And what is my identity? And what is Krishna's identity? Who I am? All these things. In this way, anusandhanam, mananam, anusandhanam has to happen, right? So, in the Vedam, Upanishads also, they are saying this, that mantram, you will see this word dhimahi. Dhimahi is dhyanam of what? Savitra Devada, in the Gayatri mantram. So, initially we talk about the Savitra Devada in the sun planet, right? But mind has to stay somewhere, in some location, because mind is moving all the time, everywhere, right? So the Upanishad says, the one who is present inside in the sun, he is the same person, one who is present inside as Antaryami. So that's how Upanishad is teaching us. That one who is present in the sun as Savitra Devada, he is present inside every one of us as the Antaryami, right? So if you can realize him here as Antaryami, then you have known him present in the sun as well, right? Here, if you have realized him, you have realized him everywhere, throughout creation, right? So therefore, realizing him important here as Antaryami. Kenopanishad, if you look, how they put it, the same thing. Yeah? Kenopanishad is saying that these are all very famous verses, and the more you think about these verses, you will start seeing that iha cheda vedi adasatyam asti na chediha vidi vidyan mahadi vinashti bhudeshu bhudeshu vijitya dhiraha pretyasma logat amrutam bhavandi idi Kethopanishad dvitiya khandam. What he is saying here is iha cheda vedi ata satyam asti. If you have known him here, you have known everything, right? And if you know him outside, it's not complete. Because when that form disappears, it's gone. But if you realize him inside as Antaryami, it will stay forever. It will never leave, right? So, that realization, what you have to realize inside, what he's saying here, but you won't get it by seeing outside or following someone in this world, right? No matter any great guru if you get, even then, or even if you worship all the 330 million gods present in the list, right? And even then, Vedam says that with all that, you won't get the self, Atma, Antaryami, in other words, right? So, one who wants Atma, wants to realize the self, he has to find him inside and he has to accept that first. And that has to be done through the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita. So, what I'm saying all this thing is that generally people think deity is there in the temple, God is in the temple, then we go to holy places and then we think that one day we will see God outside again. Upanishads are saying that is not the best method. Best thing is to realize him inside us, each one of us as Antaryami, because you will never lose it then. All other things will come and go. They are not permanent. But this realization of the self, Antaryami, is permanent. Yeah. And that is why Lalita Sahasranamam says, Antarmuga Samaradhya Bahirmuga Sudurlabha. Those who are looking outside, it is very rare to find it. But for those who are gone inside, for them they will realize the truth, right? So, outside you can go on continuously looking, but shanti won't come, realizations won't come from that, he said. Whereas inside everyone's heart, as Antaryami present, that is our mandalam, anubhava mandalam. And any thought waves, what's coming in inside us, like lust, anger, greed, envy, even bhakti, all of that, whatever it may be, actually they are all coming from that source, Antaryami, inside, right? And so therefore, whenever we experience all these different kinds of emotions and thought waves, we have to realize that Antaryami inside is making this happen, to come in our Swabhavam these things, right? So, Almanubhavam. So in other words, at that moment, at that time when we experience different emotions and thoughts, you can take it that the Antaryami is present inside. That's why they are happening. Similarly, your dream state is full of because of Antaryami. So everything like a cinema, it happens to us, right? But the screen is the Antaryami. Antaryami is the screen, right? And it is in the experience of that presence of the screen, the cinema is running on the screen, which is our experiences in life, right? So, but unfortunately, we don't look at the screen. We look at the cinema, the film, what's coming on the screen. We are busy with the film, not with the screen. So, and that screen is our awareness, bodham, astitvam, existence, right? So, and it is that screen which is the reality. What is spoken as the Upanishads as Jnanam, Soyam Prakasham, Brahmam, Bhagavan, Shiva, Vishnu, all these things we address that is that screen inside us, in presence of whom everything is happening in us. Everything is happening in us. Yeah. So trying to make understand this, what that screen is, right? So this knowledge of knowing that truth, Antaryami inside, Krishna says, is the highest knowledge. Is the highest knowledge. And he kept repeating this in the Bhagavad Gita about the knowledge of the Antaryami, right? And he mentioned the same thing in the last chapter also. Kshetrajna chabimam vidhi sarva kshetreshu bharata. He spoke about Antaryami. Ishara Sarvabhudanam, he spoke about Antaryami. Right? So, it is the same principle. This chapter also, Krishna begins the chapter talking about the same thing. The first verse, if you look. Shri Bhagavan Uvacham Param bhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanamuttamam yajnato munaya sarve param siddhim ito gadaha. About the Antaryami he is saying. He says, Sri Bhavan Vaja, Param bhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanamuttamam yajnato munaya sarve param siddhim ito gadaha. So he began this chapter. Several places Krishna is talking about Antaryami, always about Antaryami. And this chapter begins with the title Gunatraya Vibhaga Yogam. Yeah. So he says here, I'm going to talk to you, he says, about the knowledge, greatest among all the knowledge. About a knowledge which is greatest of all the knowledge. That's how he puts it. Parambhuya pravakshyami jnananam jnanam uttamam. About all the jnanam, the uttama jnanam. I'm going to say about that, he said. Then, then you start asking the question, among jnanam also there is higher and lower. How does that work? right? So, how to understand that verse here? He says that the jnanam, whatever you come from outside, from the world outside, right? None of them are of any use for self-realization. That's coming from outside. Are of not much use for self-realization, right? For example, you perform so many things from the Vedam, yagam, yajnam, homam, things like that. None of them really helps you to get liberation, right? So, therefore, to tell us that yagam, yajnam, homam, they are the karmagandam side of the Vedam. They are not directly helpful for self-realization, yeah? Whereas, Brahma Vidya, what comes from the Upanishads, that Brahma Vidya is superior to the Karmagandam of the Vedam. In order to establish that, Krishna has spoken this way, says Acharya Swamiji. That's the reason. He says that to make us aware that the Brahma Vidya is superior to all other knowledge of the Vedam, covers everything. Karmagandam is there, Upasana Kandam is there, Jnana Kandam is there. The Upanishads are saying that the knowledge, which is Brahma Vidya, that Brahma Vidya is superior to all other knowledge that you get from the Vedam. Because in the Shastram, according to Rishis, knowledge means Vedam. Nothing else is knowledge, as far as they are concerned. They don't consider all the knowledge what we have created. It's not even considered. They call it as avidya, what we have created. Through our research and experiment and whatever we have developed the knowledge, what we say so much technology, isn't it? Science, technology, all this. We call it as knowledge. Shastram doesn't. As far as Shastram is concerned, Vedam alone is knowledge. And in that Vedam, Krishna is saying that jnananam jnanam uttamam, that knowledge which will realize the self, antaryami inside, which is called Brahma Vidya, is superior to all the other knowledge that is present in the Vedam, like Karmakandam and all the other yagam, yajnam, homam and all other things, right? So, in other words, if Upanishad's knowledge and comes in and realizes self and through Brahma Vidya, all other, even if you have done yajnam, yagam, homam and all other things, you won't realize the self ultimately through those processes. You will have to come to the Sarupam, and you require Atmavicharam, knowledge, and therefore this Brahma Vidya is superior to everything else. And that is why it is called like that. Jnananam jnanam uttamam, he says. Parambhuya pravakshyami, jnananam jnanam uttamam. Everything else is knowledge. In the Karmagandam is all knowledge only. All the different Rajasuyam sacrifices and all that, they are all knowledge. But none of them is anywhere closer to Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya is the highest of all knowledge. And therefore, in the second chapter also, it says, Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidyam, Pratishtam. All other Vidya is secondary. Brahma Vidya is the foundation of all the knowledge. Knowledge means, proper knowledge means Brahma Vidya. Brahma Vidya only is knowledge. All other things are considered to be subordinate or inferior to Brahma Vidya. It is on the strength of Brahma Vidya all other Vidya exists. That's why I say Brahma Vidya, Sarva Vidya, Pratishtam. All other Vidya exists in this world because there is Brahma Vidya behind it. Self-realization, right? So, therefore he says here that all the knowledge what you get from outside is very limited. It's very limited, right? And whereas Brahma Vidya is unlimited. Unlimited, right? That's what he's saying. Yajñātvā munaya sarve parām siddhim ito gadāha. So, great personalities have analyzed Brahma Vidya different ways and they have spoken about it. Gaudapāda Acharya says there also that so many things you have come to know from this world, studying the world, right? But what is special about this thing, param siddhim ito gadaha, the last line. Krishna is saying there, right? What does that mean? Param siddhim ito gadaha. Means, while living here in this world itself, you can become perfect. That's possible with Brahma Vidya. That's the beauty. That it's not a belief system, that's what I'm saying. It's not a belief system that after death you will go somewhere and you will get this, you will get that. Like so many different religions promises, we also do. It is not one of that. He's saying here, Param Siddhim Ito Gataha. You can become perfect here in this world, right here. So that is why it is important. He said like that, right? So in other words, you can be liberated while living here itself, right? And that means even when you have the body, you can be disconnected from the body. Even when you have the body, you can be disconnected from the body, right? That state, Krishna said that, isn't it? Dehastobi, na dehasta. You are in the body, but you are not connected to the body. If you can get that state, all your problems are solved. You don't have to go to work after that. You don't have to earn money. You don't have to worry about this body. All problems once for all solved, provided you can get to that state. Dehastobi, na dehasta. So Krishna is interested in saying some real things here. He doesn't want to give us a false hope that something will happen after death. You will go here, you will go there. And that world after death, what we talk about, is very diverse, isn't it? One group present in one way, another group present in different way. And there's always confusion about that. Which one is better out of the offer, what we have got, right? So whereas this is much more realistic and practical, saying to us, Krishna is saying that, yajñātvā munaya sarve parām siddhim ido gadāha. You get perfection here, right now, inside, in this world, right? So, all your problems, just like in Sushupti, you have solved all your problems, is it not? All problems are solved in the Sushupti. In the same way, all your problems in the vacant state also will get solved, if you realize this knowledge here, right? So, this topic is a very serious topic, this Antaryami realization, yeah? Many Upanishads talk about it, Antaryami Prakaranam, they call it, in Brihadaranya Upanishad, most of it is, that's the biggest Upanishad, and most of it is this Antaryami realization, Prakaranam. So, what he's saying is that we will get that state of not having a body, ashariratvam, right? And with this knowledge, and to understand this, you have to look at the Mahatma's life, who have perfected it here in this world. Yeah? And then you will know that it is possible, because they are the proof for that. Krishna has spoken this, but those who have done that and make successful in this world, right? Yeah. So, one example, Maharshi's case, Ramana Maharshi's case, right? He got cancer. And even though the body has gone completely, even in spite of that, he was not affected by that. He was able to remain unaffected by that, right? Even though cancer was eating his body, he remained as though he has no body. He remained in that way, right? And doctors came from medical college. They came to look after him, treat him and all that. Devotees also came to see him, right? So, and they were surprised seeing his state of consciousness. His state of consciousness, right? And so that's what Krishna is saying here, that you're not trying to resolve the problems of the body. Instead, how to live in this world without a body. That science. How to live in this world without a body, rather than trying to fix the body. That's what he is saying here. All these are, see, Bhagavan Vansha, you'll see there, this topic particularly is for people who are serious in spiritual life, seriously doing sadhana. It is for them, this chapter. Those who are very serious about spiritual life, what they have to do, right? And only if you are willing to follow this, what Krishna is going to say, right? only then this technique will work, this vidya will work, right? In other words, only if you are willing to go deeper into this, what Krishna is going to talk from now on in this chapter, if you are willing to invest some time into it and absorb in thinking about it, then this will work. This will have some benefit from that, right? But if you hear Bhagavad Gita just for sake of some entertainment and thinking that I heard this, what Krishna has got to say, if you, in that casual approach, if you hear, nothing will come from that, right? They are also listeners, but they will also hear that, but it may work some other time in the future. It may have its benefit for them. But if we have felt the urgency to take Krishna's message seriously, and if we feel that you are suffering in this world and you want to escape from here, if all that thoughts are strong inside, and if you feel there is a lot of distress in this world and nothing is going to change, if you're fed up of this world practically, that there is no happiness you can get from this world, or Upanishad gives the example as though your head has got caught fire and you're looking for water to extinguish the fire in the head. If you have that urgency you're feeling inside, and then if you do that, you will feel the benefit from this chapter, if you are in that state. Not in a casual way, you can't read this chapter. In a casual way, how you read other books, let me see what Krishna has got to say. In that way, if you read it, it won't benefit. Only if you felt that urgency, that I want to realize the truth, I want to realize the self, and Krishna's solution is the answer, that means you have to have that strong faith in the Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying here. Yeah? And this is what made other great personalities to go all over the world searching for the truth. What pushed them to leave home and walk away from there. At a very early age in life, Maharshi left home at about 16, went to Trivandrum looking for that. Acharya Swamiji, at the age of 8, he left home. 8-year-old boy is leaving home searching for the truth. So you can imagine that their state of mind, the why, how their mind is working, how what they are thinking about it, right? So even today you can see people from different parts of the world, they still come, you will see them in Haridwar, Rishikesh, places like Vrindavan also, looking for something. They are looking for something. Americans, Europeans, and even from Africa, other places also. They come looking for something. You don't see that anywhere else in the world. Like the way what you find in Haridwar or Rishikesh or Himalayas. They are all coming with some hope to get something. What is that? It's all centered around this knowledge. And that's what Krishna is saying here. Why do they come like that? Because most of them have suffered heavily in life. And they found no happiness in this world. They have seen that there is a thing called a death which will come any time and will be gone from here, right? They have seen the death, disease they have seen, the problems. They have seen the war, how people can kill each other and fight each other, right? And they know there is no solution to this problem. Ordinary people, they are putting hopes on United Nations and things like that. Spiritual people don't put any faith in them. Spiritual understanding comes from proper vision, clarity inside, that there is no happiness in this world. There is a lot of suffering. We could be in a very unfortunate situation, like in many other places, anytime, anything can happen. And so once you have taken that very seriously, and then you want to escape from that, and that's where this knowledge will come beneficial, helpful. Yeah. And this is why a lot of these people who come, they have this in their behind the back, in their mind, it is working for them, making them to find out what is the solution. And they know very well that the rishis have an answer for that. That is why, but only thing is how to connect with the rishis, they are not finding it difficult. So they will go inquire this ashram, that ashram. They'll stay in this, with this guru, that guru. They try all kinds of things. And this is how spiritual life goes on in this world, right? So, you have to see ourselves, there is death in front of us waiting. All of us, we have to live one day or the other very soon, right? And similarly, disease is there. It is going to come as we get older. One after the other will keep coming, visiting us. And there is no solution to all these things. You have to see it like that, right? Suppose I say to others, there is no problem in this world, everything is fantastic. I'll be fooling myself, is it not? To tell others there is no problem in this world. I can smile at others, but in my heart inside, I know that there is a lot of suffering people go through in this world. I'm also suffering, so there is no solution to this problem. This conviction has to come first, right? So, because as far as body is concerned, diseases are coming. What can you do? One after the other, they are coming, right? And then as people who have got family life, you are observing them, their life, and you can see that how they are suffering in family life. Different attachments, and due to the attachment, suffering coming from that, right? And there is a lot of distress everybody is going through in different ways. Although people are smiling, that doesn't mean that they are all happy. They are just putting the smile temporarily in front of us. We show our 32 teeth outside and give impression that we are happy. But inside, there is burning distress for everyone, right? And that is why Krishna said in the Bhagavad Gita also that if you say that you should try to solve all these problems, tasmad aparihariyarthe natvam shochitum arhasi. He has put that word very bluntly in Bhagavad Gita. It is aparihaya. Aparihaya means no solution to the problem. Natvam shochitum arhasi. There is no problem. So if there is no solution, then what is the point in crying about it? What can be done, right? It is a fact that there is no solution. To get this world right, it's not possible. Want to talk about the world, we can't get ourselves right first to talk about it. Our own body, I can't get it right. My body, mind, I can't get it right. Then what can I say about the world then? So we have certain independence. That's a reality. But there is no solution to this problem. That is the situation. There is the situation. But there is a solution to the problem, but that solution is inside, not outside. Solution is inside, not outside, right? Outwardly, there is no solution. It will go on like this. I'm sure you all have noticed that after so many years in this world, one thing after the other, is it not? Sometimes Maya makes you feel that everything is wonderful. Job is going well, health is good, holidays are there, and making money, and prices are rising in the stock market. all these things make people happy, right? And then suddenly one day whole thing changes. One COVID comes and put the whole world in a disaster state. And then you start realizing that, it didn't last very long. That happiness is gone. And then something else comes, some war comes, earthquake comes, something else comes, right? So it is like this. Outwardly you can do anything, there is no solution to the problem, right? You can build large hospitals. What that indicates is more people are sick. That's the indication, isn't it? You know how many super multi-speciality hospitals are coming up in India? Now everywhere, All India Institute of Medical Science, every state wants one AIIMS, they call it. All India Institute of Medical Science. Started in Delhi, first one. And now there are a few in different places, right? And it involves a huge amount of money. It's a big project, right? But it has got all the facilities, this All India Institute of Medical Sciences. And every state wants one, and people are fighting for that. What does that show? It shows that so many people are getting sick. And they think that if they get a solution like this, and they can give you the treatment, but ultimately they are also dying. So it's all a business which is a loss, actually, at the end, right? Sometimes people build big, big houses. And why did I build all these big houses for this body, is not to be comfortable in life, right? But suddenly death happens, I am gone from this world. The big house you have built is left here, right? And many people happens this in Kerala. I've seen this. Many people have built big houses, and before they could occupy the house, they are gone. This world, they left this world, right? And all over the country, you will see, particularly flats, apartments, and care homes. This, that buildings are coming up everywhere. To think that people are going to be happy one day, it's going to come one day. By then, they're gone, right? And sometimes they have built all these houses for the children. They say when they come, children have gone. They never came back. They have gone to America and they lived there. And they say, we won't be coming back. And they'll give you a phone call once in a way saying that to inquire about you. Right? So that is why if you read the Guru Ashtakam, Ajari Swami's Guru Ashtakam, you will finish every verse, tatakyam, 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 tatakyam. That's what that means. Tatakyam. Yeah. So that Guru Ashtakam, if you study, it is beautiful the way he wrote that Guru Ashtakam. Every verse he finishes like this, tatakim, 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 right? All these are saying is not to deny everything, but our prarabdham is to do all these things here in this world, to work hard, to earn a lot of money, to build big houses. This is all prarabdham only, nothing else. Nothing more than that, no other importance to it, right? So, therefore you have to do it, you have no choice there, right? But think about that. Any of these things, what you have done through your prarabdham, has got any serious existence? Nothing. They all come and they all go, right? And if you do all these things, it's not going to make you ultimately swastham. That realization is not going to come, right? Thinking that one day I'll be happy, I'm doing all these things. That's why every young man does that. Thinking that one day he's going to be happy. In that hope, he carries on working, earning, and trying to do all transactions in this world, hoping that one day he's going to be happy. But that never happens, right? So, say you got a good job, and you earned a lot of money, and by the time you sorted out everything and you wanted to comfortably sit down in your sofa, suddenly the bomb blasts from the bottom of the sofa. Something happens in life, right? So everybody has this experience in life to some extent that things don't work out according to our desires, right? So therefore, it is because of all these background understanding that you remember when Sri Shuka Brahmarshi started Bhagavadam. How did he put it to us? He has his own way of saying these things, right? He told us, you know, Krishna will say similar like Shuka Brahmarshi. They are not much different. They are both the same thing, saying in a different way, right? He says to us, right? You look at that chapter, in the second chapter, he's saying that fourth and fifth verse is for waking us up to this reality. What did he say? Satyam chidau kim kashipo prayase baho sa siddhe ubabarhanai kim satyanjalo kim purudhanna patrayam digvalkalado sadikim dukulai. He says, why you work so hard? Can you not lie on the floor? Caves are there. Why don't you go and sleep in the caves? Why don't you keep your hand as the pillow? In other words, spiritual life is not possible when you are excessively busy with material life. It's not possible. Yeah? Baho sa siddhe ubabarhanai kim satyanjalo kim purudhanna patrayam digvalkalado sadikim dukulai. He's saying there that if you can get the food in the hand and eat it, right, why do you require a plate? He's saying. He says, you don't even need a plate, he said. Similarly, if you can keep the hand as a pillow, you don't need a pillow even, right? And water is plenty flowing in the river. Can you not drink that water? And if you can get some food from begging from somewhere, or from the tree, some fruits or something, and quench your hunger and thirst, why do you have to work like this, right? Chirani kim padhi. Kim padina sandhi dishandi biksham. Naiva angri para parabrada saridopi shushyan. Ruddha guha kimajido vadi nopasanan. Kasmal bhajandi kavayo dhana durmadhandhan. Those two verses, if you analyze it properly, you can understand what Shiva Brahmarshi had to say to the world. So, we shouldn't, he is saying, that just to maintain this body, to give the whole life for that, is not very intelligent thing. That's his conclusion. To maintain this body. To give all your time and energy in life for that is not an intelligent thing. Yeah? So therefore he said like that, you can go to caves and sleep. Why do you have to do this in this way? So that is the point, right? We will stop there today. We'll continue tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Dhyana Dhyana Prabhupada ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.